listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Fight the power, fight the power, fight for the right to get up and say fuck white power. Everybody come and get up and get on, and no matter what you're fighting for, I promise that I live on. Make America great again, make it hate again, make it white, make everybody fight. Fuck that, streets disciple. My raps are trifle. I shoot slugs to my brain like Cobain. Everybody wonder why the world insane. Why the world insane? Why the world insane? Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. With your hosts, Rod and Karen. What's going on?
Oh, okay.
You're taking too long. We are what? Back. And, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. You said it.
And Karen.
Okay, thank you. We are back on a Sunday. It's been so long.
I mean, don't be rushing me and shit. I mean, I know we've been off, but damn, nigga. This ain't no men's right activist house.
Well, actually, we do have an announcement before we start that we do need to get out the way before we even do all the show introductions. This is a little bit, a little bit embarrassing for both of us. We have seen all the tweets and the Facebook posts, and we've gotten your messages and want you to know that we heard you. We took the week off, but you guys were in our thoughts and our prayers. We wanted to come do the show, but the studio was flooded last week. And I know a lot of y'all were in need, looking for a podcast home, and with the studio being there was flooding, we couldn't really open up the studio doors last week to come and really console the masses, to all the news and the things that were happening. So that's really, I know some people saw us, taking pictures and, hanging out with people and going out to eat and stuff. But, that's when we didn't know that the studio, once we knew the studio was not flooded anymore, we opened the doors. We did episode with Bossy Igby.
Yeah, we did.
Roger
did. I was trying to, get the flood out myself,
right.
While he was off gallivanting with his other podcast wife.
I told people, listen, I told Podomatic, and you guys can look it up. I told Podomatic, I said, once black podcasts get over capacity, let us know, and we'll open up the doors of the Blackout Tips and allow people to come in here and listen to some black podcasting. They never contacted me, movie trailer reviews
didn't supposed to do.
Movie trailer reviews never said anything to me.
That's my 40 acres, then she's right. A player. What's happening?
What's the T never hit us up and said, hey, we are dealing with more black people listening than we can handle. Can y'all lend a hand? We would have obviously loved to lend a hand, to people.
I mean, to deal with day overflow.
Right. I mean, y'all still in our thoughts and our prayers. That's why we came back, this Sunday, not just because the bills are due. I mean, also go to the blackouttips.com on the right hand side of the page. You can go ahead and donate to the show, donate to some good causes. We turn that money around to help the black community, to things, like going out to eat. I paid off my car, praise Beyonce, this week.
Won't she do it?
Yes, she won't be do it. But yeah, I paid off my car this week, with y'all's money, while y'all was out here asking for help. But y'all never were far from my hearts. I want y'all to know, okay? If you see me eating the sushi roll or drinking a nice drink or a cocktail in the middle of the night, I want you to know you're not far from our hearts. We thinking about y'all the whole time.
Actually, we were.
We was like, what are y'all gonna do? We opened up the store for y'all so y'all could buy things, okay, on Teespring. Y'all have been buying things, okay? Take plenty of pictures. Send us your pictures.
I can't wait to see them.
We appreciate it, okay? But, it was just a little bit of confusion, on our part. We thought, oh, they'll certainly be okay, hit us up if you need some help. And a lot of people was fussing on Twitter and Facebook and just, just so much confusion in the world. What is wrong with these people, But we're back now, okay? We heard your cries. Hillary Clinton excerpts from her book dropped. Y'all, where's Rod? Where's Karen? You know, I saw it. I saw what y'all, you know, what y'all were going through. It was a lot of important news. Donald Trump repealing DACA and shit, you know? I understand. Y'all needed to have our opinions on these things and what was going on, you know? It's definitely, you know, Beyonce came back out and was helping people in Houston, you know, hanging out with normal people, taking pictures in mom jeans, looking delicious as hell.
Come on, hood and blue.
Right. Y'all needed to know what we had to say about these things. And I understand, you know, so we are back. Okay. We will be accepting money, today, for anybody that wants to help us line our pockets. Okay, guys. All right. So yes, this is a Blackout Tips. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews and plenty of money. If you leave us a 5-star review and it's nice, we'll read it on the show. As long as it's nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And of course, we have a bunch of stuff going on, but number one, you can support us by buying our audio play albums. Go to Shadow Dog Productions, made by Shadow Dog Productions. You can find it on where you get Apple Music. You can find it on where you get Amazon Music and stuff. Just search The Best of Rod and Karen or Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. Either one will bring up our albums, and you can listen to them. You can also listen to them on Spotify and Tidal. So we got you covered from every angle. Okay, so make sure you guys, you know, come hang out. Okay, and by hang out, I don't mean come by my studio, because some of y'all took pictures of the studio talking about ain't no flooding over here, walking around my house, my spare bedroom, you know, giving away all my business, you know. And I mean, listen, just because you couldn't see the flooding from outside doesn't mean there was no flooding in our spare bedroom. Okay, we opened up as soon as we were eligible to be able to help some people and give them some podcasting. We gave you one day of podcasting with Bossy. Okay, so I mean, we told y'all should have been taken care of for the whole week. I don't understand what the problems and the scandals were.
I mean, it was long. I mean, it was 3 hours.
It was 3 hours. I don't understand what the problem was. Okay, you take that, you break it down, you'll be fine. All right? Man, these black people, I tell you. All right, let's see. What all did I want to say? Oh, well, I had a lot of random thoughts. I guess we should run through them real quick. Since we took this week off, things happened. There were things that I wanted to say, important things. And some not important. And some just corny jokes that weren't that funny. But first of all, dear waiters, if you are a waiter, I just want you to know, if you listen to this, there's no extra tip for not writing my order down.
Mm-mm.
At no point in my life, in anybody's life, has anyone said, oh my God, you didn't write my order down and it came out correctly. Here's an extra $5. You're only making me high key worried that you're gonna fuck up my order, and when you do, you giving me the perfect out to blame you. It could be the kitchen that fucked up.
No, come on.
But as far as I'm concerned, you didn't write my shit down. So you went back there and told them some fuck shit, okay? I'm just saying, now I'm worried the whole meal that you're gonna fuck up, and I ain't gonna have to tip you, or I'm gonna tip you badly or whatever.
The whole meal.
Listen, there is a deduction for getting people orders wrong when you don't write them down. Well, who are you trying to impress? Is there like a secret waiters award show every year that I don't know about that y'all go to, and they be like, and the award for not writing anybody's orders down goes to, come on guys, do better. You know, some hurricanes coming around. One of them hitting Florida right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 3 hurricanes in a row right now and shit just hanging out. That
I know, they was like, we'll wait till you finish.
It really looks like a movie. Like,
yes it does,
like those movies starring like John Cusack, and I think
he in every single one of them
Improbable White Man movies, where it just be a motherfucker just escaping with his family. Like, he don't kill nobody or nothing, but it's just escaping with their family the whole time. Just, oh no, we in a limousine doing 90 miles an hour in front of an earthquake that is cracking the ground right behind us. And when we make a left, guess what, the earthquake make a left. Like, what the fuck? But that's a real genre of movies. Look it up.
It is.
But my thing is, I find it kind of interesting that all these scientists, all these meteorologists, all these weather people, all these news people, they keep getting the hurricanes right. How do they keep getting the hurricanes right? I mean, they say a hurricane coming, and guess what? It come. You know, they, I mean, you can't predict exactly where it's gonna go, but they be pretty fucking close, dog. How do the anti-scientists and the fucking flat earther people explain this shit? I just wonder. I don't really wonder. Like, I don't really want to sit down with them because they probably got some type of weird, like, you know, the government is, you know, using the weather dominator to fool you, brother. You know, like, they probably got some way of explaining it, but how do they explain this shit? Because they be right. When that fucking, the solar eclipse came, they was right
to them second.
All the people that get that predicted that are all people that are like, I'm a scientist, the earth is round, the sun is
shit.
Yeah, the sun is a big fucking helium globe or whatever the fuck. Like,
I've done this my whole life. I've dedicated everything.
Right.
I went back and studied when the Egyptians first did this shit.
Like, how do they get it right if it's just made up? If what's the name? B.O.B. is right. The earth is flat. If Kyrie Irving is right, why do scientists always get these things right and y'all be wrong? I'm just wondering. Let's see what else happened. Oh, so on Jason Whitlock's sports show,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's called. Nobody
Me
does.
Either.
I don't think anybody really watches it. Mm-hmm. But there was pictures going around.
Fox Sport 1002, that channel, whatever.
Yeah, Fox Sports 1, I think is the name of it. There was pictures going around of what looked to be like a very light-skinned or white dude portraying Colin Kaepernick with a fake Afro wig and the black power fist.
I was seeing that online, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody's ever worked as hard as anything in life as Jason Whitlock has worked at being a coon. But it was funny because, you know, for the most part, people assume must be a white person. That was the number one thing. Everybody's like, probably a white person. But no, wasn't a white person. Guess it turned out to be kid Chris Reed. You guys might know from the rap group Kid and Play.
Oh, people were saying that. I was like, yeah, that don't make no sense.
Sounds like Kid got played.
Come on.
All right, sorry about that, guys. We're back.
We are back.
Yeah. I mean, and he did an interview with TMZ to like clear the air to be like, I'm on Kaepernick's side, guys. But he's also like the showrunner, I think, or producer for fucking Bill Maher's show. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
I didn't know that either.
Right. You know, now I know he probably did this and was like, I ain't gonna hurt nobody. You know, he probably thought it wasn't gonna hurt nobody to do that. Thought it was just getting funky.
Come on.
Try and do this his way, but he had to find out that it wasn't it's not a fun house.
Mm-mm. Or a house party.
It was not a house party, Karen. Mm-mm. I thought he was a class act, but I guess he's not. Guess the whole time he's just undercover. But I saw that picture. I was rolling.
Yes. Shout out to everybody 25 and up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All the young people like, these jokes are terrible. I don't know.
Yes, and who is fucking Kid and Play?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I'm the PLAY. The girls just say,
come on. Y'all know y'all kids get mad. What the fuck is that cat staring at us? I'm sorry.
Oh, the cat's back.
That random ass cat. I happen to look over and the cat just standing there going, what the hell is y'all niggas? No, we ain't got nothing for you to eat.
He hopped on the sill too. He hopped on the windowsill. Oh my God.
I mean, do we got something in here that it like the smell of? I don't know.
I don't know.
I washed, so I don't understand.
Is it just beard oil? What
I
is
don't
going
know.
On
we
right
got
now?
Some sense that it's liking.
You just want to hop on the show, cuz? What's can y'all see this? Look, let me see if I can show y'all this
y'all,
shit.
Y'all, the know. Cat is really just staring.
This cat is really in the house, y'all. It's really sitting up here and just enjoying itself by the TV. Look at him. Ain't like right, cats are assholes. This is exactly the problem with y'all. Mm-hmm. He's like, listen, I heard y'all niggas was podcasting. I wanna ain't gonna hurt nobody.
Mm-mm.
I had some jokes.
Mm-mm.
At any rate, I guess he just gonna hang out and listen.
He getting the live show for free up in personal.
It's now a live show. He probably heard that hurricane coming. He like, hey man, Y'all got any room in the studio? And I got to say, I'm Joel Osteen to the bullshit, Cat. You gotta stay out there, bro.
Yeah, you wanna stay out there. I'm sorry.
It's gonna be wet. Oh, he dipped that quick. Damn, he ran the fuck off. You must have seen something.
You must have heard us talking about him.
Mm-hmm. All right. Where were we at? Anyway, kid got played. Yeah, that's where we was at. Let's see what else we did. We went out to eat at some new places.
Yes, this y'all, I'm not even gonna lie. Niggas, I enjoyed my time off because we got to try some places that we've been wanting to try. We got to rest. We watched some Naruto. We did a bunch of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Got caught up on some TV.
Yeah, I watched a shit ton of Naruto season one. It's on Netflix. And watched two Naruto Shippuden movies that are also on Netflix. There's three of them on there. We watched two of them so far.
They're good.
But yeah, y'all can, if y'all into that, y'all should go check it out. Anyway, we went to this place called Oku.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, see, what happened was there's this person, this someone in Charlotte that wrote a article that was like the best places in Charlotte to eat sushi.
Mm-hmm.
And Karen and I was like, well, we'll be the judge of that because we have our fave already.
Come on, and most of the, everything on the list we had already tried.
Some of it, yeah, we had tried some of it. And some of it was like downtown.
Right,
and,
which is where we rarely go anyway.
Yeah, like these trendy spots and stuff. But we went out to dinner a couple times and it's weird because, like, I don't know what's going on with me this week, but I've been feeling a little bit more, I wouldn't necessarily call it extroverted, but just a little less introverted, I guess.
Yeah, more adventurous.
I would say maybe, yeah. You know, maybe it's because we're not doing the show or something. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, so I went, because then I can store up that energy that I spent talking every day. Yeah, that might be it.
Correct.
Oh yeah, all right, well, we figured that out just now. Anyway, went to this place called Oku, which was on the list as number one.
Mm-hmm. It was number one above whatchamacallit,
New Zealand.
New Zealand
my number one.
New Zealand is my number one. New Zealand is like a little place. I'm not gonna say it's a hole in the wall, but it's like this little place in this shopping center where you'd be like, what the fuck is this? You walk in there and that shit is flames and it's always jumping.
Yeah, I love New Zealand. That's New Zealand Cafe.
That's the GOAT.
Anyway, we went to this place called Oku, like O-KU, and it was like a trendy spot. Like it was, we went at night on a Friday. So obviously, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I like to go places during the off hours rather than the, you know, the right. Busy hours. I have to go back again when it's not busy.
Correct.
Cause like soon as we walked in,
it was
the music was super loud. It was so many people in there.
This is a club. What the fuck is this?
Right. And it wasn't even super loud in like the playing techno type vibe.
Volume was high.
Right. It was just, yeah, it was just loud. Just loud.
Yeah. And you know what I mean? The music, like I said, the music went techno music, but the music, I didn't realize this, but some places, and I think this happened when we was in Raleigh with Nick Ju and them, some places have like systems now that as people talk, the louder people get, the system adjusts and turns up the volume. So it might be one of those places where once it gets so full, the music kind of automatically goes up, which actually causes people to talk louder because now they can't hear each other.
It was a young people spot, like where folks go to go out probably.
Yeah, right before they hit the clubs.
Yeah, and it's like downtown, so it's a little more expensive and shit and a little more trendy.
Mm-hmm.
And the music, yeah, the music wasn't like techno or like jet. It was all like that moody weekend music shit. Like this is in the background the whole time. And I was like, I'm trying to talk and I'm just like, hey, yeah, did you see what they did tonight?
Yeah, did you see? She the woman. Can I take your order? Right. Yes, I would like some water and some sake.
Yeah, I would like some water. What? Water. Sake.
I mean, yeah, I would like the hot roll, the hot and sour roll. Ma'am, you sure? Yes.
It felt like that the whole time.
I
legitimately almost didn't go because like soon as we walked in, soon as we got to the door, I heard all the music and I seen all the people and I was like, eject, abort, let's just turn around, fuck
yeah,
this place.
I was ready to go because I understood. I was like, hey.
And well, see, here's the thing. I was ready to just moonwalk out the door, right? This is after we signed up on the list. We was like the only two people in line, so I knew it was next, but you know, they was waiting on the table. And also I was dressed in jogging pants and a Game of Thrones shirt.
We was all dressed down.
Everybody in that bitch was dressed as
like
motherfucking
heels. shoes right. and suits, and they was like, hey, after this, we going to whatever the hot club is to party all night long. Last time we went to a place like that, we got offered a threesome to get high. I don't know what we was offered, but it was weird.
Right. It was too much for me.
I was like, no, ma'am, I don't want whatever you ask, whatever you're trying to give us.
You know, and so, but I really do want to try these places on the list. I just was thinking in my mind, like, oh, I'll just come back on a Saturday at like 4 or 5, like, mm-hmm. you know, when it's dead. And then I'll just eat then, and then it's not as crowded, and I can dress how the fuck I want without feeling underdressed. But Karen, when I was like, let's just go, Karen was grabbing my hand like, let's go with one hand. But then she was like, make sure you tell them that we don't want to be on the list no more. To which I'm like, that defeats the whole purpose. Fuck them. Let's just walk out. So she kept getting me caught between these, like, the person. I'm like, all right, let's go. She's like, all right, but tell them we won't be on the list. I'm like, oh, I mean, what? If I'm going to do that, I'm like. And so it took so short for them to see us that it was just like, they were like, well, we're ready with the seat. I'm like, fuck it, we staying. And she's like, you sure? I'm like, nigga, you made me go back. Like, we could have escaped. So
my bad, I didn't know that, my bad.
So we ended up sitting down, and I mean, we had a good time. The food
we
was,
did
the sushi was really good. The rolls weren't huge, but they were decent size. Mm-hmm. They had some really good appetizer, the mm-hmm. gyoza or whatever, they had this dumpling and shumai combo thing. Mm-hmm. You get like 4 of each. Yo, that shit was good.
I don't know what the hell they had in that shumai, but
it was shrimp and scallops, I think.
Yeah, we've eaten a lot of shumai. That shit was flames.
Yeah, that shit was, it was good. Like, everything we got was good. And, you know, the other thing with the trendy stuff, if you go during the busy hours, service is a little bit, it takes a little longer, mm-hmm. which I'm understanding of. Like, I don't knock you for that because there's more people in there, it's busier.
Yeah, we seen.
But I always forget because I like going at certain times, because one of the reasons I like is server don't have a lot of stuff to do, so they can like wait on your table. They're coming back every couple minutes, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, with this, it's like it might be 10 minutes before you see your waiter. It might be 5-6 minutes before you see your waiter, because you know they gotta go do the rounds, check all around the restaurant. You got mm-hmm. parties of like 12 people and shit.
Yeah,
somewhere
it was a bunch of parties,
people celebrating birthdays and shit, mm-hmm. people ordering drinks because it's later at night,
right?
So it's like a lot more work for a server to do. So service is just like it's not bad, but it's mm-mm. just okay, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we had a good time in there. It was, like I said, I'd go again, but not necessarily at that time. And then yesterday we tried for the first time another place on the list, which is weird because this place is on the list, but it's not really a sushi place.
It's not. They had like a small little sushi list.
Yeah, but it was very small, and it wasn't, it was like on the fresh daily special. Like, it wasn't mm-hmm. even on the menu. Like, mm-hmm. they give you a little menu that's like, here's our daily specials. It's 4 things, and they're not really rolls. Mm-mm. Like, you know, for people that are into sushi, you know, a maki roll is the typical, like, rice wrapped around
something.
You know, it could be other things, too, but mostly something wrapped around what's in the ingredients in the middle.
And sometimes it's fried and sometimes it's not.
Right. Maybe something on top, and then they cut it into sections. That's a maki roll.
Yeah.
They didn't have, and it's maki short for, I think, makimono or something like that.
Yeah, we had to learn the terms, and if you do something like we had to learn what sashimi is. A lot of times sashimi is just a raw fish itself, and sometimes they have, like, rolls with the raw fish on the top of it, so I had to learn what the terms mean.
Right. So they didn't have any maki rolls. Mm-mm. Is what I'm saying. So this is for people that like sushi, but you probably a little bit more adventurous. Like, mm-hmm. if you like the kind that have why am I drawing a blank on this? But the kind of sushi where it's like a rice, it's right, like a kind of a pile of rice almost, or a little, and then they put a piece of fish on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name for that? Why am I drawing a blank? I know it's maki, it's sashimi.
It's maki, sashimi, and then it's another kind of roll. And then it's a
nigiri.
So that's what it is, nigiri.
So they put the nigiri, like they had nigiri type rolls or sashimi rolls.
Right.
Oh, not rolls, sashimi, just slices of fish.
Yeah.
So like, to me, I was like, not really feeling the sushi. But what they did have was these ramen bowls.
Oh my gosh.
And
like Naruto.
Yeah, right. Like, I know we felt like it seemed like we probably was culturally appropriating or something, because I had on my Samurai Champloo shirt.
We didn't know.
And Karen had on a Naruto shirt. Mm-hmm. And then we was eating
Naruto and Sasuke.
Right. We was eating these rice, these noodle bowls and talking about Naruto episodes,
right?
Because we just rewatched them, and you know, if I'm sure if anybody would have overheard us, you know, it's probably some low key offensive or something. I don't know, but
I'm not sure.
We would. I don't know the rules.
Offending somebody, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the rules. They probably feel like we was posers. I don't know, but we was enjoying the hell out of it, and it's right on the gentrified side of Charlotte, so we had
right at the light rail eating out. Y'all know who was eating outside and shit. That's adventurous.
Shout out to Solange. It was cranes in the sky.
It really was.
Just moving the ghetto out of the ghetto and moving the new white people in. Yeah, man, it was right off the light rail. It was hard to find. Mm-hmm. But because it was so trendy, right? Like, if you're in Charlotte, you understand this joke because someone said it on Twitter. The light rail takes you from one white side of town to the other white side of town.
Correct. It takes you to no nigga part. The light rail go from north to south. The light rail does not go from east to west, is where most niggas live.
Right. So we, you know, it was a nice night out, and, and I've had, is it pronounced poke, P-O-K-E, or is it poke?
I'm not sure.
Either way, I've had that though. Someone said we should have that in the chat. I've had it before. It's all right. The thing is, I'm not huge in the sashimi in the first place. Like, it's poke. Okay. Yeah, I like, I can deal with nigiri. I love maki rolls. Sashimi, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, and the thing about sashimi, I got sashimi by accident because we ordered it one time. I was like, yeah, I was just looking at the fish. I like, y'all want some sashimi? We ordered it, and the woman was like, oh yeah, y'all hardcore. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't understand, you know why, because most people don't order
it. It's just raw fish.
Right. Most people don't order it, and I didn't know I was just ordering raw fish. I got that shit home. I was like, what the fuck is this? I was like, oh, I just got fish.
Yeah, you basically dip the fish in soy and eat it, you know.
I didn't know that was the deal.
Anyway, man, the place was called Futo Buta. And it was so good, man. It was nice. It was a nice spot. It was, once again, we went kind of like, we went about 6 or 7, and it was the beginning of the dinner rush, so it got crowded.
Yeah.
We had to wait about 15 minutes to get sat.
It
was not a huge place. But outside wasn't too bad, you know, like I said, it's in a gentrified part of town, so everybody was riding those city bikes and fucking walking dogs.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was one people, you know, and the white folks who was out there, and one couple was walking with their dog. Another group didn't even know who the hell these white people was, walked right over there, was like, oh, your dog is, I was like, what the
they
fuck
really got up in? Dog, they were eating, they got up from their table, went and touched these dogs and went and sat back down. I was like, wow. How?
I mean, they just went, and it was
nobody went to wash their hands or nothing.
And it was two dogs. I don't think you heard.
Yeah, I saw it was two dogs.
Yeah, it was two dogs, and it was one was like a beautiful furry dog, and the other one was like a little black dog. And the girl said, "Hi, other dog." Yeah, I was like, "Oh, poor little black dog."
Yeah, I was not a fan of any of that stuff. Honey,
that shit was tripping me out. But
and the other people let them do it. Like, they was just like, they stopped. Like, they was like, oh, dog. And the people got up and came and touched their dogs and then came and sat down with their chopsticks and shit. And I'm like, ugh.
That's probably what they do all the time. And because like I said, we live on, like, far away from downtown, but we live, you know, kind of suburbs. So, you know, we don't have random people, you know, doing shit like that. Or, you know, we have people riding their bikes. They had, like, the rent a bike shit where you know, I don't know, you show off with your car, you could pick up a bike, and shit like that. One dude was riding and he was blasting some nigga music.
Oh, man, there was a white dude on a bike that had, like, I guess he must have had one of those portable, Bluetooth speakers. You know, like, guys have, like, Bose or what, Sony, you could buy the little portal. So instead of headphones, he put the fucking speakers on his bike. And it just didn't make sense. And he was an older white dude. So it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like you would expect him to be listening to this shit. And I didn't know who it was or what it was, but it's like, as we were, sitting there, it's like I hear this familiar tune blasting up the street, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? Nah, it can't be. Not out here, not all the way out here in the suburb, in gentrified town, but it really was. You could hear them coming, like, and I met you.
you last night, baby. Before you opened up your gap, I had respect for your lady. But now I take it all back, 'cause you gave me all your pussy.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so we over here eating fucking ramen, and me, and I don't know if me and Roger were the only two niggas that realized. I was like, what the fuck is this? And the closer he got, the louder it got to.
I was so, like, and then it's like, I couldn't believe it happened. And it was like, as he rolled away, I was like, nah,
I didn't believe it.
50-year-old white man was not playing Ain't No Fun riding through the restaurant area
on his $1,000 bike just to go on with it. And you know what, maybe because I'm old and black, these niggas had open toed sandals, nobody had on tennis shoes, nobody had on knee pads, and all the shit they tell you, but it was like, fuck it, we just gonna go out here and be adventurous.
What you mean, knee pads for what?
You know, because you're riding a bike, you know, you fucking fall out there, skin your knee, bust your head wide open, fuck your toes up because you got open toe shoes on, you only got maybe because I'm old and black. I'm like, niggas, y'all on fucking bikes. I don't care if you is going up street and around the corner, your ass can fall.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, all the white folks, there was no shoes, no socks.
Did they clean those bikes before they hop on them? Like, is there a cleaning part? Like, is that like the gym? You know, at the gym where you get hop on equipment, you spray it down and wipe it off, and then, you know, when you get off, you're supposed to spray it down for the next person.
I don't know.
Like, do y'all just be hopping on these people's bikes after they get done with them?
They probably don't disinfect them or anything. Like, not unless you plug it in to do. Like I said, maybe because I know I'm old, and I know when my ass fall, you can't bounce back, and shit breaks and shit like that. Maybe white folks don't, you know, they're like, hey, we're going to live forever. I'm like, nah, nigga, I'm good.
That's why they gave, this is why they give other people the smallpox. You know what I mean?
Come on.
Like, this is how it works. They be like, we build up our immune system by touching dogs and eating ramen and then fucking hopping on nasty bikes that ain't been wiped down. And you know what? That's why when we come to your land, you die. We don't even have to do nothing.
We don't die, you die.
Here's a blanket. You know?
Right.
Anyway, let's see what else found out, this week. Oh, everybody's ready to move on from Hillary, y'all. It's time to move on.
Mm-mm.
She finally put in her book out, the excerpts. Like, a couple of pages came out and people lost their fucking minds. And it was like, move on. Why are you talking about old shit? One, I didn't write the book yesterday, motherfucker. Two, I am going to say what I got to say. Everybody else done had said what they had to say. Bernie done said what he said. Now it's my turn.
Fucking book tour.
And everybody want me and you and everybody that was involved in this election to not pay any attention, to basically say, shut up, old bitch, go away. And I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. I am not doing it. Okay? I do want to hear what she has to say.
Me too.
It is interesting. She lost the most controversial election of our time.
Right. The fuck? She lost an election where you had the most voter suppression. You struck down the Voting Rights Act. A fucking election was goddamn hacked. But right. She not supposed to say shit?
Right. Like, Bernie Sanders is on my TV doing a late night interview pretty much every week.
Come on.
Every week, dog. She don't get to say. Like, he's able to blame her, blame basically anybody that's not a white man in the liberal party by saying identity politics. He's able to blame everybody but himself. He's never considered an egomaniac. He's never considered, you know, to be talking too much, brash and all that stuff, you know. And it made me think about a few things when I read the passages from her about how she felt, you know, things went during the primary with Bernie and how she felt basically damaged in a way that she could never recover from because of some of the insinuations that he made, you
right
know? And there's a few things. I actually have a lot to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is, white people are shitty voters. So every time you hear somebody say Hillary Clinton's a shitty candidate, she was not a shitty candidate. And I think it's important to say this, not because I have her back or I think she was whatever. She's one of the most accomplished candidates, if not the most accomplished candidate we've ever had, period. In every measurable way. She ran against literally the shittiest person that I've ever seen run for office, of president. And that's saying a lot. She ran against the shittiest person. White people like that shitty dude. and that needs to be addressed. Come we can't on. Everything else just takes them off the hook for pulling the lever for a guy that they knew was a bigot. Everything else is just somebody's trying to find a way to deflect, and because one, people don't like Hillary, so they want to put it all on her. No, the voting populace is to blame. As I said before, the day before the election on this show, and people came back and were like, Rod, you was right. You said this. What did we say when we signed off? We will get the person we deserve as a country.
Right.
That's what we'll get. I didn't feel that confident that Hillary just had it in the bag. Here's the thing. Even as I thought she would win, I still was like, I don't know. I don't trust white people enough. I know too much history. I've read too much shit to think that white people won't go full white people and get in that voting booth and be like, yeah, fuck every poll to where I said I wasn't voting for Trump. I'm voting for this motherfucker.
Come on.
Fuck all the groups in Facebook I was in. I'm going to pull the lever for him, or I'm not going to vote at all. Cause she got it in the bag, or I just don't like her. Right. So that's the one thing I want to say. White people are shitty voters. So any measurable way that you would try to call her a bad candidate, Trump was worse. If she wasn't honest enough, he's a flat out liar. You know, she was shady. He's shadier. What are you talking about? White people liked his shit. That's it. There's no other excuse. So then the second thing is likable. A lot of white dudes been talking about how much Hillary Clinton wasn't likable to them. One, like is a gender term. Okay? Likeability is used against women in a way that is never used for against men.
Come on, dog.
Because if Hillary Clinton's not likable, what is Donald Trump? And if he is likable, what does that mean? What do you like about him? It's something to consider, right? Like, why is it okay for him to be an outrageously open bigot and still be quote unquote likable by so many Americans? What was it about George W. Bush where he can be inept and still be so likable? You know, we do well this likable thing against women. And it's not just Hillary Clinton. No, I'm talking about women, like women at their jobs. How many women, and of course, the more you go, the more marginalized the person, the more the shit becomes relevant, right? Because black women will straight up tell you like, a lot of my job, a lot of my energy is wasted trying to get motherfuckers to realize I'm not the angry black bitch that you want to call me.
Right.
That I'm like, me saying no to a thing doesn't make me a bad employee. Me standing up for myself it should be a good quality, and it's looked at as a bad quality. You know, people walk around, I just don't want people to be scared of me.
Right.
You know, I don't want people to judge me for, you know, walking over me and go, oh my God, look at it. She's got braids. Like, I already know what kind of black woman this is going to be.
Oh, hair's natural.
Right. Don't say anything to Sheila because you know how she, you know, like, black women are constantly facing that. Women are constantly facing that. Women are paid less because of that. But when women demand to be paid equally, they become a bitch.
Yeah.
When women demand the same statuses and the same accolades and the same promotions, they become a bitch. Women literally are, this is true. Women are seen as more unlikable when they are applying for a job, even though on the whole, women are rated higher once they attain a job as far as their job performance goes.
Come on.
So we're saying you are better at doing the job, but nothing makes me not dislike you more than the access or the ability to try to acquire more power. I don't like when you try to go get something, even though I know you're going to be better at it once you get it. I would still rather hire a man because I see that quality as a positive for a man, right? I find it odd that people call Hillary unlikable and find Bernie to be likable. I don't understand, to be honest. I saw those debates. Everybody saw those debates. I saw a disheveled, old, angry, screaming, ill-mannered white man yelling and cutting her off during the debates. That's what I saw. Somehow, that's more likable to people. And I'm like, is it more likable or is it that you hate this woman enough that him cutting her off doesn't bother you? Because a lot of people have decided to disassociate misogyny from her so that I'm not a misogynist for calling her a bitch. That's different. And it's like, no, you're like, the fact that we're all misogynistic, first of all. So anyone that try to like act like there's some exception to the rule, there's no exception to the rule. We all have it in us. Even if you are in the group and you call somebody a bitch, why'd you pick that term? It's a gender term. Even if we call men a bitch, we're literally saying it because that's what we've called women. Yeah. And that's the worst thing a man can be, is womanly. So you already got all this shit floating around, right? So one, it's kind of fucked up that we use wage likability specifically against women, you know? And when we do like a woman, what does it mean to like a woman? What does it mean? It has to be Sarah Palin. Right,
fuckable, like, yeah.
She gotta be attractive.
Miss Pittsmart.
She gotta be kind of stupid. She gotta be, she gotta be, oh, don't you know, she gotta go along with the misogyny. So when people say stuff like, women aren't smart, she gotta get up there and be like, well, you know, gosh darn it, some of these women aren't dumb, you know? Like, she can't come out and be like, fuck you. No, that's not true. You gotta wear a dress. You can't wear pants.
Mom.
You know, like, these are the things that for a woman to be likable, she basically has to shrink herself. She has to dumb herself down. Hillary Clinton's considered an egomaniac for not doing that, but Bernie Sanders isn't. Donald Trump isn't. Like, these were the options. So if you look at the options, what are we saying? The fact that, and this is another thing, people go, well, she's a bad candidate. Here's the thing. Donald Trump beat out like 12 fucking Republicans. How? If he's the shittiest person of all time, da da da, how is he beating them? They're men and women in that trail of people he beat. He came from outside their party. How did he do it? If he's just so fucking terrible, like, no, it's not just that he's terrible, it's that white people wanted a terrible person to run the country. They needed an equal opposite reaction to the brilliance that was the Obama administration.
Come on.
Regardless how motherfuckers feel about it, as every fucking thing they pass gets struck down week after week, more people are starting to feel the pinch and starting to realize, this dude did a lot.
Come on.
This administration did a fuck ton of work. And maybe we would have been better off as a country to push that a little bit more uphill than to fucking let the ball roll all the way down to the bottom of the mountain, which is where it's going to be in 2018 and 2020 and possibly 2024, because I think Trump's going to win again.
Me too.
I don't see any reason he should lose.
Mm-mm.
He's accomplished every item on the GOP platform that he ran for.
Yes.
And y'all let him do it. The white people let him do that. People that voted for him, let him do that. People that decided to either sit out or vote third party aided in him doing that. You know, it's not fair that pressure's there, but that's the truth. All these things added up to this dude getting to push the ball all the way back to the beginning. Like, and that's what he's doing. Like, I get furious when I see some of this shit passing to the point where I don't even like talking about it, because I don't want to rant and rail on people that, you know, essentially should have the right to vote however they want and talk as much shit as they want and all that stuff. But a lot of people aided in the erosion of goodwill towards the platforms that were progressive in this country. You know, and there's a lot of people that think resetting to zero is better than taking a 5 to a 6. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you thought Obama was a 5 and you wanted, now I want a minimum wage that's higher. Now I want, immigration, reform that has, what do you call it? Amnesty in it. Now I want, now I want Planned Parenthood to still be supported federally, and now I want Title IX to still fight for the rights of victims of sexual assault on college campuses. If you say you wanted all that, being okay with Trump is not wanting all that. Mm-hmm. It's the direct opposite of wanting all that. Mm-hmm. People got a little too fat and happy under Obama and got a little too motherfucking, a little too fucking comfortable. And thought these things that have only existed for sometimes 2 to 4 years, these policies were here to stay. And you were fucking wrong. And so now we have to sit through this shit together. And some of us are going to be angry about it. And some of us, going back to what I said, are not going to move on. And you're just going to have to deal with it. No one has to listen to this podcast if they don't want to. No one has to follow me on Twitter or Facebook or interact with me. And if you truly have moved on, when you see me being like, fuck Bernie Sanders and fuck these racist ass, I hate identity politics, white people, don't say shit. That's what moving on means. You know, I move on from shit all the time. You know what that means? I don't give a fuck when people talk about it. Cause I already made up my mind. I already came to my conclusions. I already worked on my shit. I'm on some other shit now. Happens all the time. When I see my friends ranting and raving about fucking X-Men movies they don't like, you know what I do? Move on. I like them movies. I don't care anymore. I'm not going to debate it with you. That's what moving on is. Moving on isn't running up on people you don't even know or follow or interact with and being like, can't you stop talking about this? No, nigga, I can't. Now what are we going to do?
Come on.
Because we are, because I ain't making you talk about it and you're not going to make me stop. So what are we going to do? You know, people come to me all kinds of, oh, you're being divisive. Nigga, I'm pointing out that there's a divide. And I'm trying to tell you this shit because when it comes to 2018, it's about to happen again. Because mm-hmm. nothing has been addressed. Mm-mm. Nothing has fundamentally changed. Mm-mm. And everything that I bring up that happened in 2016 can easily happen again. I'm already watching people lobby and rail against any Democrat that is young and possibly in line to run for president. They literally want Bernie Sanders to run as a not Democrat on the Democratic ticket unopposed. That is really what people want. And I'm telling you,
he can goddamn lose.
He don't have the numbers.
Cause niggas ain't gonna vote for him.
He don't have a black vote. That's a huge issue. You can't even win the primary without the black vote. Then the second part of that is, demonizing these other people. Even if he were to want win, he then has to work with these people. He doesn't get to go be a dictator either. You have to look at Trump. Trump still hit some roadblocks even with all his bullshit. He still had to run them to some roadblocks. He's like, do this thing, and then Congress and the Senate are like, we can't do that. Like you don't just get to tell us. Like Bernie can't just bring his magical initiatives into the, hey, free college for everybody. No. Right. Did you say the obstructionism that Obama faced? Why would Bernie be any different? I don't understand. Like, are we just, is this magical fairy tale land? Is this the Smurfs? Like, that's not how the shit works. And everybody knows it. So it's just kind of interesting to see people, one, want Hillary Clinton to not have her moment to basically say, this is the inside scoop on what happened in the most controversial election ever, you know? Well, when people are, and especially to not want her to have her say in a time where the last 8 or 9 months have been people trying to just solely blame her. You must be out your motherfucking mind. I'm supposed to take all that for y'all, nigga. No, this is what had happened. That's what the book should be called. What had happened? Like, what had happened was not what happened, no. But what had happened was,
yeah, her book should be like, I told y'all niggas,
right?
I had to apologize, but I came out and told y'all them niggas that voted for him ain't shit, and y'all act like I went too far.
She literally called them people deplorable,
right? And they are,
and
fuck
people
them.
And people were like, I still don't like her, I'm not voting for her. Nigga, you call them people deplorables? What the fuck are you talking about? Well, you know, you just got to be nice to these voters. They not nice to your black ass.
Mm-mm.
When they lining up with them citronella torches, ain't nobody nice to us.
Come on.
But we gotta be nice to them. Fuck out of here, dog. Like,
right.
That shit was killing me. The whole thing where it was like, one, she has to take the blame and be quiet and shut up. Bernie Sanders lost to her. So if she's a shitty candidate, what does that make him? You know, people keep bringing up rigging and shit. I'm like, show me the evidence of rigging. I read every fucking article, every excerpt, every email that they claim shows some level of rigging. None of it's rigged. They didn't take one single action. It was 100% of them being like, we're in the DNC and this nigga isn't. What the fuck? And then they went and did their jobs like motherfucking professionals are supposed to do. Not one thing was changed. No, not one vote. They weren't allowing him to debate. They weren't not allowing this motherfucker on TV. They were like, it was literally just being like, this dude's been a huge dick. And you know why they thought he was a dick? Cause he spent 97% of his fucking campaign talking shit about the DNC and Democrats. So what the fuck do you expect him to say? I love this guy. Fuck you. You talk shit about me every day as part of your job. And I go to work and I have to deal with it. fuck you. I don't like you either.
And he not a part of the party, and that's what people don't understand. The second he dropped his ass out, that D went to a goddamn eye.
Right. Like, you don't go out to, you know, people bring it up all the time. You don't go down south. Well, you know what's down south? Black people. Come black on. Voters. You know, your outreach to black voters are Killer Mike and Cornel West, who are two of the most anti-black type of surrogates. Like, it's one thing for them to be like, listen, black people, you need to go vote for this dude. It's another to come out and call people sheep and say y'all on a Democratic plantation and shit like that. It's a one thing, you coons, for not going to a black bank. It's that dude's never gonna get you the motherfucking votes of black people. And that's because y'all don't see us as constituents in the way that you see the working white class voters. And I don't give a fuck. Y'all need to do that. Y'all need to see us that way. I want to be pandered to.
Come on. Why do people think something was wrong with that?
My vote is worth being pandered to. Because y'all pandered all these other motherfuckers.
Lie to me too.
Y'all pandered to all these other motherfuckers. Period. So it's like, that's as if Bernie Sanders isn't pandering. As if, Donald Trump wasn't pandering to people. That's the job. I just think there was a mass rejection of just the idea of politics, because motherfuckers were so dissatisfied that they didn't get everything they wanted under Obama, because they thought he would just snap his fingers and a magical fucking fairy would appear and everybody would just get three wishes and shit would be better. And it didn't happen that way. It turned out to be work, and they quit on that nigga immediately. They were already done with him in 2010. They were, I voted for him, damn, what else do you want? You know, here's the other part of it too. There has been massive voter suppression, gerrymandering, and the Voters Right Act was struck down. These were all results of Barack Obama winning on the back of the black vote. Hillary Clinton is the first Democrat to run in this new environment. I'm not sure Barack Obama wins 2012 with these new rules. Are you? Like, this is a slight amount of research. People didn't even know this. I mean, maybe we're unfair because we do this every day, and maybe it's unfair for me to leverage my knowledge. Yeah, because we have to know, you know, we do care about this shit. I'm not sure Obama can win with the new rules. You see, the number one thing he's doing that coming back is voter suppression, voter ID laws. Like, he's
gerrymandering because this shit matters.
He came back. He's one of the few people talking about this shit. Everybody else talking about, how do we get racist white people that voted for Trump to vote for us?
Like, none of the brown people goddamn count.
Yeah, you're not going to even be able to convince racist white people to come back to the Democratic Party in the first place, because you're never going to out-racist Donald Trump. From this point on, the GOP is this way until they lose. I'm just, for the record, and I don't know if you noticed, they've been winning everything except presidency until 2016, and now they got that too. They're not losing these local elections. You know, Bernie's selling people out with these fucking, like, compromise Democrats, where he's cool with them on the economy but identity politics, hey, do what you want. Oh, you're against abortion? Cool, we just need to win. What happened to we just need to win in 2016, Bernie? And why is it okay for him to we just need to win but nobody else, right? So it's just kind of interesting the way shit is going. I am looking forward to her book, to be honest, and I'm not moving on. Mm-mm. I'm not living in the past. I'm doing this thing that I don't think people understand. It's called multitasking. Why do both? I can talk about what needs to happen for 2016, 17, 18, and do all three though. I can be like, 2016 was this way, it was fucked up. Here's how we can avoid that in 2017. I don't know. Maybe I'm the one who's crazy. Maybe that's what it is. I apparently am in this 1% of people that can fucking do both of these things, where I look at the past and go, the past informs the present and the present informs the future. All three of these things are connected. What do we need to do to make, because I feel like if you call yourself a Democrat or a liberal or a progressive or whatever, if you don't read the book of the person who lost in 2016, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yes, you are.
Cause you need to know how shit went wrong too. And if you just don't give a fuck, you don't want to, then don't give a fuck. But just don't call yourself any level of trying to move people forward, because that's the thing that I think struck out to me in 2016 more than anything else. And I didn't know how to necessarily articulate it, and I didn't want to insult people, But there has been such a lack of history, of a lack of knowledge on the part of the American voter, on the part of the uber progressive voter, where I'm like, I don't know how to talk to you, because you're literally living in fairyland. Like, I just, because I'm pragmatic, does like, that is not a way of me saying like I'm pragmatic, so just give up. No, I'm saying I'm pragmatic, so I know the progress you're talking about, where you think if you let the ball roll to the bottom of the hill, it'll magically get to the top of the mountain. It's never going to happen. Like, this is the cycle. It is progress in America, pushback in America. Progress in America, pushback in America. I'd still rather be a black person today than a black person 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 400 years ago. I still would rather be black today, and I'd rather be black tomorrow. But the point is, this shit is cyclical. People do this all the time. This shit actually happened under Clinton too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when people talking about the prison act and all that shit, the crime act, the crime bill, it happened under Prim too. People got way too fucking comfortable. It was like these, a lot, every single act that a president does, especially a progressive president, is not a catch-all. It is a first step. And then you push it forward. That's how the shit works. And there's always half of the country that wants to push shit back. And that's how that works. So we got to deal. So we, people on the one side get to quote unquote win, and then they stop pushing. And that's why our democracy, in quotes, that's why it continues to be this way. It's not because, it's because no one has the fortitude to push all the way through. You know, the last time we really pushed something all the way through, that we had the fortitude, healthcare, Obamacare, the thing that people go, it's not enough, we need more. That was actually the first time in a long time where enough people were galvanized to push something through that couldn't be undone like that. Everything else gets undone like that. Just like, I mean, it just takes one, hey, I'm not signing this.
And then it's gone.
And it's gone. It just takes, everything we have pretty much is like that. Even the right for black people to vote is a, we decided we don't want to vote for that shit, and we, it's gone. Even that. So like, it's kind of wild to watch people in real time do this shit. Like, I was thinking about this the other day, in the Bible, you know how they killed Jesus? When I was a kid, I thought that was the most ridiculous part of the Bible. I honestly did. I said, everything about the Bible is him. He good. That's the whole fucking point of this whole religion is, hey, he was such a good dude, we should just be like him. Right? On the most very simple level, it's even called Christianity after him. Like, hey, Christ was such a cool guy, man. We should just be like that dude.
He was pushing against the system.
Right, but and when I was a kid, I just didn't understand. Mm-hmm. I was like, why the fuck would you kill this dude? All he did was fucking, like, help people with sores on their body and fucking turn water into wine. Right. He sounded like a cool dude.
Right, Jesus was like, hey, y'all fucking up. Hey, y'all know y'all out there fucking up. Hey, right. And they was like, fuck you.
But even then, I was like, okay, y'all in power, he said y'all fucking up, who cares? But nah, I get it now. Like, this is what we as a society do. We close down on people, we kill them. Like, we,
right, because
you know, if we can't kill them, we kill their message.
Right, we'll kill the message, we'll try to kill the quote-unquote face, anything that represents that, because for a lot of people, if you kill that, you'll make it go away. And that's, yeah, the thing, you won't people to shut up, you want it to go back to normal, you don't want to have to be worried about the poor, you don't want to have to be worried about women, you don't want to have to be, you know, worried about slaves, like, oh god, you making me feel bad.
Now I feel like they, like, a lot of this shit has been about killing the progressive movements that started under Obama. That's the best way I could put it, you know, because my thing is, if Hillary would have won, people were still gonna be on her ass the same way they was on Obama ass, you know what I mean? But look at what this election is about. It's about killing immigrants who want to come to America, and the Dreamers Act. We want to kill it. We want you to out of our country. We are killing, literally, we know you will die, we want to kill you, go back to your country,
we want to send you back, we want to send you to a place that A lot of you left when you were children or teenagers. You haven't been back in years. With some of you, never stepped.
It's not even your country anymore.
No, it is.
For a lot of people, they're like, I don't know this country. I came here as a child. I only know here. And they're like, go back to your country. And but there's more though. They want to kill trans people.
Yes, they do.
That's what the military acts about. That's what all these, you know, we're taking away the federal wording. We're taking away, you know, the policies that protect you. They want to kill you. They want to kill black people. They call Black Lives Matter terrorist groups. They are telling the police to be emboldened, to hit us on the head, to rough us up as criminals. You know, they are telling the police, we got your back. No more Justice Department investigations into your racist bullshit. No more of that. Get your militarized gear back, okay? Sorry for this nigger for the last 8 years he took this shit from you, but have it all back, you know? They want to kill everything that started under Obama. And that is one of the blessings of having Obama, was that that I think you'll never see people really be thankful or issue a retraction on the things they've said. But honest to God, those movements couldn't have started under another president.
Mm-mm.
They couldn't have, and they wouldn't have, and they didn't. Mm-mm. He seemed like and put the energy out of a person that listens. He seemed like a person that his administration had a way of being like, listen, let's have Eric Holder. You know what I mean? Like, let's have somebody here that is going to attack the injustice within the system rather than attack the citizens, you know. But people were so, I think, to a certain level. Matter of fact, leads into another thing. But yeah, I'm not moving on. It leads into this thing with Trevor Noah. We didn't get to talk about it a lot, but we talked about it a little bit. He had this thing about the Antifa that he did on his show. And a lot of people got mad. He's trash. I'm done with him. Da da da. All that shit. I'm not done with him. I don't think he's trash. I don't. Other people can think it. I don't give a fuck. It's because it just never was that serious to me. And I think it's hinting at something else. And the bigger issue in this to me is he got that job because he ain't from here, and he hasn't lost the hope that many black people have lost already.
Correct. And that's, like you said, that's why he got the job. They're not gonna give that job to a nigga that's from America that know the shit that happens here.
Yeah, Roy Wood Jr. can't get that job.
Ever.
Here's the thing though. Y'all niggas don't care about the Antifa. So now what are we really mad about? Cause we don't care. Let's keep it 100. We don't trust those white people any more than any other white people. They just happen to be punching the right white people right now. But them motherfuckers they not part of no coalition. They don't follow the agenda of Black Lives Matter. They're not about the movement for black lives. They're not about, they are about, chaos and violence and shit like that. And it's fine as long as no black people get hit in the crossfire. I don't really give a fuck that they out here punching people. But when they had the G4 summit breaking up windows at Starbucks, we don't care. Let's stop. Like, we don't have to pretend to give a fuck about that. They not our friends or our allies. They not even doing it for us. It's just, these are people we can punch that are bad people and nobody will complain. And I'm 100% fine with that. You know, I don't really care. And they not listening to Trevor Noah. It's not like they like, I'm gonna stop doing it because Trevor Noah said it. But here's the thing that I realized why his comments bothered me, because it wasn't anything with that. It really, because it's really not even about black people. Antifa people just want to punch somebody. It bothers me because I hate this false unbiasedness that people have. Like, I think I called it false impartiality. I'm sure there's other names. I'm sure I'm not the first person to think of this. But it's performative impartiality. That's what I called it. Performative impartiality. It's where you pretend to not be on a side. So what you do is you pick the Daily Show's a liberal show. They won't say it. He would say, we pick on both sides. Jon Stewart used to say the same thing. But what happened? Republicans stopped coming on his fucking show. Conservatives stopped coming on the show. Why did they stop coming on the show? If he's so unbiased and impartial, it's because conservatism, bigotry, that shit ain't unbiased. It ain't impartial. So you pick a side just by not siding with them. Just by the mere fact that you go, this seems kind of fucked up. You've already picked a side. a lot of people that claim to be liberals, progressives, whatever, a lot of those motherfuckers refuse to admit I'm on the side. But that's what it is. You might not like your side, you might not like everybody on your side, that's fine, but you on the side, motherfucker, you don't have a choice. So by the fact that you cover this shit for a daily basis and you say Philando Castile shouldn't have been murdered, and you damn near cry on national TV, Trevor Noah's on the side. You don't have a choice. You can deny that. John Stewart used to deny it. He probably still deny it today. He still says something fucked up every like year or so. He'll say some stupid shit and I'm like, there you go, trying to perform this like, I don't know, I'm on both sides, guys, I can see the, no you can't, and I know you can't. So it's, so that's the shit that's offensive to me, is motherfuckers trying to be like, because I watch the Daily Show, I record it, I catch it four nights a week when it's on, and literally they do this about once every 3 months. They have a stance that is basically a non-stance, and they think that that's impartiality, but it's not. You're just giving, we're just all sitting around thinking you lying. And you know what, the conservatives that don't like your show, they're never coming back, because they're not going, well, you know what, he said the Antifa are just as fucked up to be out there punching people as anybody else, and you know what, you're right, Trevor, I'm gonna watch your show now. No, they not. They don't give a fuck about you or your opinion on that shit. They have written you off from the second they saw black on their screen. They don't even know you not from here like that. Like, they literally just see a nigga on their screen and they think the same thing about you. They thought about Larry Wilmore. They think about Roy Wood Jr. They think about any nigga on TV. Like, oh, some black shit, let me turn this off. Like, that's what all this shit comes down to. So this performative impartiality, dog, you can drop it. It literally does you no good for your brand. All it does is insult the people that listen to your show. That's all it does. Cause we all know better. You know? And I don't really get into the people that are like, I don't watch. Well, you don't watch. You want a fucking cookie? Let me guess, you don't watch Game of Thrones either? Hey, congratulations, motherfucker. You don't consume a product. You are so fucking brave. Oh my God, what was it like to be on the cross? Did you die? Did you die? Like, motherfucker, it's just a TV show. But the point being, motherfuckers know that you are not impartial. So why are you pretending at this? And people do this all the time. It's always just like, well, listen, I don't think it's okay for, I don't know, some ridiculous thing. I don't think it's okay for a man to go in the bathroom and rape a woman. Wow, so brave. So brave. Wow, I guess it's like you can see it from every perspective. What are you talking about? That's not a thing that's happening. So why are we discussing it? Because you want to perform this like, I can see it all kinds of ways. No, you can't. Sometimes it's just dead wrong versus everybody else. And I think that's one of the things that's bothering me about a lot of this shit. And to go back to what I was saying, that's the thing about that happened under the Obama administration. A lot of people did fuck him, he's terrible because this, and you're like, oh, you're doing it. You're doing performative impartiality as if I don't fuck with him. I don't fuck with nobody. I'm like, okay, but he's the best that we've ever had. Now, that might not be good enough for you, but there's nuance within the spectrum of where I can be like, he's the best we ever had, and he's still not perfect.
Come on.
Where I can say Hillary Clinton's the best candidate, the most experienced candidate I've ever seen, and she's not perfect.
Nope.
You know, there's a way where I can do that. There's a way where I can say, she's not my ideal candidate, but she's better than Bernie Sanders by a long shot, and definitely better than Trump. There's a way to do this, but we've gotten to this place where it's shut the fuck up, move on, enough out of your mouth, bitch. We've gotten to this place somehow, and I'm just like, okay, so that's where we were in 2016. Is no one noticing? We haven't moved on. That's the point. If we moved on, if we were healthily in a place where we were ready to move on from this, people would be like, we need to find what things in her campaign went wrong so that we know the next person we run won't deal with this.
Oh, and a lot of them not. So
tell me Kamala Harris won't be dealing with this. Tell me that. Tell me in 2016 Cory Booker won't be dealing with this. Tell me that, because you're a motherfucking lie. We both know that. Or 2020, we both know that in 2020, whoever the Democratic person from within the party running is going to deal exactly with this purity politics shit. how do they come out with enough of a party to win? And that goes for Bernie Sanders' ass too, because I don't give a fuck what people say. I would vote for him if his ass makes it to the general election and he's versus Trump, because I'm not fucking crazy and I'm not a hypocrite.
True.
Okay, like I would vote for this motherfucker. I didn't get my way, I'll burn it all down. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life, and that's because I care about other people than just my fucking self.
Correct.
No, he's not good enough on my issues. Mm-mm. But guess what else? I don't want the fucking country to be run by Trump anymore. Like, what the fuck are we doing? It just sounds so stupid. It literally sounds so stupid. So no, I'm not moving on. That would be like me being like, guys, we just need to look forward. So from now on, the Blackout Tips, we don't do movie reviews. We just do movie previews. Okay? We are only talking about the movies that will be coming out, not the movies we've seen. Cause who needs to live in the past? Like, no, nigga, you need to do both. We can do both. It's fine. You have the time. You're not stupid and I'm not stupid. Alright. So that's what I was thinking about when I saw that shit. Okay, another thing I was thinking about. Y'all mean to tell me y'all knew Joel Osteen supported Trump and y'all still out here defending him last week? Y'all knew this nigga was fucking with Trump?
I didn't at first know.
I didn't know at all, because I don't fuck with, I mean, y'all know.
I had heard of him before, yeah, I knew he was.
I didn't know, but I live in a blissful ignorance when it comes to all that shit. Y'all niggas knew, and y'all was out here talking about some, man, you know, you have to understand, it's complicated. What? Nigga! He thinks you're a nigger.
Come on.
Black people, no! Come on, man! Look, man, I'm not gonna go on some bigger rant about how, like, black people and we shouldn't be Christian. I'm just saying, in general, not this nigga. I can understand maybe it's some niggas, there's some progressive preachers and congregations out there. I've seen them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've seen Reverend Barber. I mean, that dude used the same Bible as these biggins and still come out of there like, listen, this is what we need to do to stand for our LGBTQ people. This is what we have.
Making them mad, getting arrested. It's like once a week them niggas be down there mad.
Right. Moral Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are preachers out here doing really good work. Not this nigga. We can't, nope, can't, no, no. I refuse, guys. No. You need to all take that back. That's ridiculous. This motherfucker sitting over here making it okay for Trump to do all this evil, non-Christian shit as y'all would claim to people, and y'all out here like, guys, listen, it's very hard to unlock a church door, okay? Keys, you might have to find them. So I has to go down there. They have to like turn the lock to the left. So you gotta turn the lights on. I mean, whew, I just don't know how this man was supposed to help. Come on, y'all. Ugh. Disgusting. All right, other things. By the way, I did mean to mention this too. I think all prosperity preachers are just atheists that couldn't pass up easy money. I just think that's what it is. It's the only thing that makes sense. Somebody got mad at me and was like, why you gotta try to say bad people are atheists? Listen, motherfucker, I'm an atheist. It's hard to pass up free, easy money. That's just human. Okay? We live in a capitalist society. It's hard not to want to get rich.
A lot of pimps are preachers too.
I'm just saying. I'm starting to think that a lot of these, they just atheists is like, so wait, I can do anything and y'all niggas are defended? Yeah, man, fuck little kids, steal from the congregation, don't pay your taxes, cheat on your wife. I mean, long as you in that pulpit every Sunday, we got your back. So now, what? I just need to read this book and get up there every Sunday. Y'all just gonna let me do whatever I want, huh? Yeah. I mean, you know I'm into fucking your children. Like, I literally am going to get up here every Sunday with S curl in my hair, preach the good word, and then you're gonna see me leave the church in a nice car that I bought from y'all with a young child in the back seat with my arm around him. Sounds good to us. See you Sunday. well, damn, I just gotta do it. So I can have break babies with all the women in the church and y'all ain't gonna bring it up. Hey, it's not even gonna be a problem. Listen, we just here to support you and the Lord's word. As long as you can repeat them words, have a jamming ass choir, you know, as long as we can, you know, get our praise and worship on every Sunday, it's cool if you, you know, Bishop Roddy Long Stroke or whatever. That's cool. If you just gonna be out here with several women pregnant by you at the same time and the first lady of the church sitting up there in fucking dresses that look like Cardi B wore, that's cool, dog. Y'all are winning at life. How was Joel Osteen, the atheist broke dude, supposed to pass that up? How is he supposed to pass that up? All he had to do is get some plastic surgery and fucking get up there and lie every week and motherfuckers will be okay with him closing his doors as niggas drowned outside. Like, it's hard not to, I'm just saying, I would understand. I'm not saying that's, I just don't think, looking at the way they practice what they preach, that any of these motherfuckers could believe that shit. Who does the things they do and believes in the shit they talk about? Is that seems antithetical to the whole point. Reverend Manning, Dr. Manning, sitting up here calling people gay slurs and racial slurs, and people still come to his broke ass church until it closed down. People were still in there. How? What book is he reading from? Like, so I really think these niggas just be atheists and they don't got nothing to do on Sunday and they need some money. I mean, the rent is due.
The rent is due now.
You just come and show up and listen, guys, hey, the Lord wants you to be rich. Give me some money. Now, see, I'm balling on this jet. Pastor got to be balling. Don't you want to see a nigga on a nice jet? These motherfuckers on TV, you think Pat Roberts, whatever. You think this nigga believe in the Bible for real? Y'all been watching this show for years, and y'all think this nigga believe in anything that's in that book?
How long have we been doing that show? 50 years? We've been doing that show forever.
He been doing that show since I was a kid.
Right.
Closing his eyes, praying real hard for conservative bigotry his whole entire motherfucking life.
40, 50 years.
Ain't never, like, how come God don't never tell these niggas vote for a Democrat? Not once. They be, oh, you know, President Trump is a God-fearing man, and we just need, even this nigga, you know, Mitt Romney, he's a Mormon. But we love him more than this nigger that's running out. I mean, pray for him, Jesus, that he gets a safe recovery. Pray for his magical draws, Jesus. We just love Mitt so much more than this nigger that's running against him. Every time, every year, God ain't never been like, you know what? Not this nigga. I actually like Bill Clinton. Like, there's never been a year where God was like, I'm kind of fuck with Al Gore, buddy. Yeah, Al Gore pretty cool, you know. Looking out for the earth, you know, that's my thing. You know what I'm saying? I fuck with the climate is getting a little hot, you know what I'm saying? Y'all niggas is keeping it too hot down there, you know, all this shit spraying at the ozone layer. Let's vote for this nigga. Let's save some animals. God ain't never thought that. God always just be like, it's gotta be this idiot George W. Bush. Gotta be. I know he can't fucking do his times tables, but that's what we need as president. I don't know. It's just, I'm picking the same dude again, Pat. Can you get on TV and tell people and then get tax-free money, even though you're not supposed to be able to do this? Even though it's supposed to be a separation of church and state, can you just get on TV and loudly pray for the conservative candidate and president every year and then tell us how evil the Democratic president or candidate is every year? What is even the rules to this shit? What is going on with the, what? They gotta be atheists. That's the only thing I can come up with, y'all. They don't believe in this shit. And I don't know that people that are going to church every week and giving these motherfuckers some money believe in it either.
Not all of them, no.
A fool and they money will be motherfucking parted.
Soon depart, yes sir.
Like Shannon Sharpe's hair. That shit will be parted.
Oh no!
On the left. No. Okay.
Oh no.
Is a serving of Talenti supposed to be two jars or just one? How much is a serving?
I don't know.
Because I've been eating them. They was buy one, get one free. And I feel like...
Oh, that was so good.
I feel like two jars is the correct amount. Nobody tell me.
I'm pretty sure you turn it and got a serving.
I just go by how I feel.
Okay.
I can feel what a serving is really in my mind. Probably. And it feels like about at least a jar and a half, but probably two.
Mm-mm. Probably, yeah. No one knowing that shit about 4-5 spoonfuls in the bottle.
Rhetorical question.
About 500 calories.
Reclaiming my time. I didn't ask for your answer, Karen.
Oh, okay.
This is a rhetorical question.
Oh, okay. Cause
you can go look on the side of the jar if you want to.
I will.
But I know.
It don't matter. I'm still going to eat the shit.
I know what the Lord has told me, and it's two jars. It's two jars.
I don't believe that word.
Listen, send me y'all money, okay, guys? So Pastor needs some talente in his house, okay? Pastor Morrow needs some talente. Matter of fact, call me Pastor Talente, okay?
Oh, Lord, no.
Just pass it on over to me, okay? And I need two jars at a time, so I'm going to need y'all to hit up the church funds this week. We back. We open. Lights on. We ain't flooded no more.
The door's open. All the water gone.
I need some money, okay? We got to keep this operation running with Talente. Okay,
it's flames.
It's 2 for 7 at Harris Teeter right now.
Come on, get it while you can. Them shits is high.
2 for 7. The other day, this woman saw my Jon Snow, He Has Risen shirt, and I think she thought it was Jesus. She was like, "Yes, it has." Mm-hmm. I just let her live with it. You know why? She don't watch Game of Thrones. It's fine. It didn't hurt me. I'm not an angry atheist, y'all. Like, I know y'all just heard this part. Y'all like, he's so angry. I'm not even angry with y'all. It's cool. A lot of cool Christians out there. Some of these niggas aren't, though, and I'm gonna talk about them because I talk about everybody else that be fucking up. That nigga is whack. Fuck Joel Osteen and all them niggas on TV. Fuck them all. They don't care. All right, let's see what else we got. Oh yeah, and if you offended by that, then be mad. It's fine. You don't have to listen to this. I'm trying to sign a summoning contract with all y'all mamas anyway.
Oh, Lord.
Shout out to Naruto. They need to make another app called HBO for HBO Go because all the black people that watch it, they be sharing passwords. I think they need to call it HBO Go Ahead. No.
Ah!
Just go ahead and give me that password.
They got free trials, y'all.
But they run out. Free trials run out. The whole season of Insecure ain't on the free trial to the end. And I got to argue with the timeline, Karen.
Ah!
I can't be out here watching this show and not talking and getting angry and projecting on people.
Do that shit if you want to. You don't be mad. Y'all break up or y'all ain't cool no more. All of a sudden you go in there, your favorite shit be watched.
All right. I think that's that all I got. I feel like I had so much more to say. Oh, Trump administration is the season finale of America.
Yes, it is.
Do you even lift, bro?
I know.
That's what ride sharing beef is like. Do you even? Some of y'all will get that later on.
America don't got talent.
See what else I got. Oh, some of y'all listen to this, and we've had some bad interactions on social media, and I've blocked you. If you do want to get unblocked, and you listen to this show. And you have a sincere apology, you can email me and I will consider unblocking you. Just email me at niggafuckyou@gmail.com. We'll see about getting that opened up for you, buddy. All right. Yeah. Yeah. That's niggafuckyou@gmail.com.
You better than me, cause I block it. That's it. I ain't renegotiating the reconsidering shit.
Okay. I like that Karen thinks I really went and opened up an email called ha 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 ha, niggafuckyou@gmail.com. I hope enough white people name their kids after Game of Thrones characters so that they can stop throwing away black resumes in 10 years. You know, that's the goal, really. Like, hopefully enough Khaleesi Johnsons will be on there that they have to be like, I don't know. I guess, I mean, Tyrion Jones, just give him the interview. We'll see when he gets in here.
Cersei James.
Yeah, Cersei James is kind of, you know what? We'll just give it a call back. maybe we can tell by her voice on the phone.
I mean, the hound. I mean,
the hound. Somebody could name their kids just the hound.
The hound. the hound. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we don't know. Is it a real animal? I mean, what breed is the animal? This is a person. I don't know. Let's give him a chance.
The hound is definitely a black name. That's for sure. Before this, it definitely was a black name. Like,
come on.
It was never no white people named the hound. It was only black people named the hound.
Come on, and they would probably give that breed of shih tzu a better chance than they would a nigga anyway.
All right, and the last one, you know who that magician is, David Blaine?
Yeah, to do that weird shit, yes.
Yes. David Blaine does identity parlor tricks. Okay, guys, I'll be here all week. I told you some of these weren't funny. I told you that 20 minutes ago. You forgot that I said, anyway. All right. So anything happening in the news? I feel like we've been talking for a while. What time? Okay, we got time. Mm-hmm. All right. So, let's get into some other stuff. Black people stuff. Jay-Z and Kanye West are finally settling their beef.
Oh, go ahead.
What?
Oh, so they finally settle their beef?
They about to settle it. Yeah. They're apparently real close to, you know, getting back together. Sources close to the situation say Kanye asked to meet with Jay face to face and discuss the situation that led to all that drama. So we'll see. I hope they can get back together so we can watch The Throne. Maybe we get a part two of that album, which I fucking love. Fuck y'all haters.
Mm-hmm. I think we should too. And I think if they make up, I think we will. And yeah. Somebody bought up Rihanna got makeup.
Listen, I live for the fact that black women was live getting their life to this makeup though.
Mm-hmm.
Like I seen so many black women that was so happy to be like, I have a shade for me.
And you know what? I don't even wear makeup like that, but it is horrendous just to look at the shit and you go, well, don't none of this. Or either a lot of people have to take like 2 and 3 shades and blend it to match, and like if you wear makeup, that is something that is horrific, especially people who trying to get shit that actually match, and you don't want to look ashy and you don't want to look too dark, like, you know. You know, because if you're not a professional makeup artist like the average woman ain't, you put it on yourself, you're not hiring nobody, that shit could be crazy. And it looks like they got 500 colors because we come in all types of fucking shades.
Yeah, one of the things I thought was interesting was how Sephora, people was like, yo, make sure you get some good lights in Sephora. And they said black women was actually like helping each other out to find that right shade.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they, you know, they know the game. Like, they've been up in there so many times and shit been fucked up. Mm-hmm. They said, you know, like black women, you don't even know each other, but they just come in, they all looking at them Fenty shades, and they was like, hold up, girl, let me make sure your shit match right. Okay, nah, that's your color, you good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard there was, and I didn't look into it, so I don't want to sound too ignorant, but I heard there were some people that also felt there were problems with it, like, someone had organized the colors to make it from lightest to darkest with white at the front, dark at the back.
Mm-hmm.
And people was like, oh my God, white supremacy, even mm-hmm. when a black woman makes a, I don't know the rules to that shit.
Refresh, baby.
Let me refresh real quick, guys. Okay.
Oh, but the thing is, y'all act like there ain't light-skinned black folks. Like, what the fuck is wrong with people? Like, y'all do know we come in all types of shades, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, we actually go from you know, pale white to, you know, the darkest of dark. So when you put out a line, you need to be able to accommodate all our shades, and every black person ain't dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so I think for a lot of people, they, you know, they were dealing with that shit. They were also saying, like, the lights in Sephora make you look one way, but then you get home in your regular natural light and you realize that these Sephora shades is all fucked up. Because
Sephora, that's the checkout system.
That's a store or a section where people go buy their makeup.
Okay, okay.
And so you try it on there. They have people that work, you know, the makeup counter.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was kind of funny to see not funny, but fun to see black women getting their life, man.
Yeah, and I really do enjoy it and I appreciate it and shit like that. And it's one of the things that's very, it can be very frustrating, because, it's a, and truthfully, my opinion, I hope the shit sell like gangbusters and I hope it's everywhere. And I hope it forced a lot of these old fuddy-duddy, makeup people that's been in the industries for years to fucking diversify, like to actually diversify their lines, because a lot of niggas been requesting for years that they make darker colors or add different skin tone. I shouldn't have to buy four shades to mix them to get my color. I should be able to look out there and get one color and to be able to apply it to my skin and something for me. Like I said, I don't even wear makeup like this, but from my perspective, I don't think anybody at a makeup counter that, like, particularly at the mall, you shouldn't be allowed to do that job unless you could do makeup for all skin tones. It should be mandatory. Because I did that shit one time and I looked fucking ashy. I looked like I was getting ready to go out there with ring umbrellas and bottle be bagging the circus. I was like, what the fuck is this, bitch? You didn't know what the hell you were doing.
Yeah, that, you know, that's a thing. It's kind of like when people, if a black person goes to Great Clips and post that shit on Twitter, we gonna laugh because we all gonna victim blame. Like, why'd you take your ass up in Great Clips? You knew what it was.
That or Supercuts or whatever else.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but that's kind of how the makeup counter is. It's for white people.
Right.
You know, it's still one of those things where beauty is such a segregated industry. And I think that's, you know, that's a thing, you know. I don't know, I guess you want to make it more inclusive so people are going to fight for it and whatnot, but yes, definitely. I saw people that were kind of upset that, or at least it was weird. Someone brought up that Rihanna didn't have any, disabled models in her shoot or whatever, you know, her promos. And people were like going in on this person for even bringing it up. Like, I didn't, and then, like, the way she brought it up, it wasn't even on some, like, Rihanna is trash and she's ableist, like, or whatever, but it was just kind of like, I would like to be included, which is a lot of people do, you know? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing that happened with Beyonce and Lemonade, when people's like, I want to be, you know, I want to see a bigger fat person. I want to see a fat woman in her thing that is being sexy and da da da. Look, I'm not saying that you can't be upset at that. I'm not saying, I really, because honestly, it's not like if I saw a fat woman in the fucking, if I saw her in the video, I would have been like, man, fuck this shit. Like, I would have been like, cool, man, good for you. If I saw a person that was disabled and they were in the a product line for a beauty product, cool. You know, there's always going to be issues. Even within ableism, you're going to have people that's going to be like, well, why she got to be this type of disabled? Or why she, you know, like, it's going to always be something, because honestly, nothing can ever include everybody. There's never been a product that's enabled to do it. And there's always going to be somebody that notices, and there's always going to be somebody that doesn't like it, and there's always going to be someone who complains. What there doesn't have to be is people jumping in their shit for noticing.
Right. And
that's the thing that bothers me. It's like, the product's already out. If y'all getting y'all life, just get your life. You don't have to engage this person and be like, fuck you, bitch. Why are you always doing this to black people? Like, cool. All right, you didn't get your life. Leave it alone. You know, like, even if, you know, even when there's shit you disagree with, you can still get your life and move the fuck along. You know, that's why we save a lot of conversations for our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll be like, I don't, because I'm not going to engage you. Like, if you say some fuck shit or something I disagree with or whatever, to some shit that I think you're being pretty unkind or harsh or even sometimes anti-black too, I'll be like, that's cool. Go live your life. It really has nothing to do with mine. You were gonna say something.
Oh, and you know what? And it's just a cycle, because a lot of black women complain of being left out of white products.
Right.
And then somebody else complains that, hey, I know this is for us, but what if you include this group? And then they turn around and get mad. So it's like you repeating versus saying, you know what? You're right. This shit is flames, but I agree. And this same pressure should be put on the white industries too, to do this also. And
yeah, and when you're in the spotlight, it's not fair. I just want to say it is not fair that it happens, especially to black women. But when you're in the spotlight, people want you to represent everybody.
Correct.
It's not fair because it's impossible. That's the reason it's not fair. But at the same time, that, you know, if people understand the criticism isn't necessarily fair, or it's not necessarily feasible or is not levied at everybody equally, then I think they can also understand that not every criticism needs to be brought down to its knees just because you didn't like it.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct. And also, it's talking about the makeup lines, but that's another reason why a lot of black people in like Hollywood and music, they actually have people that actually their own makeup artists and hair artists that go everywhere with them, because you have people that's been in this industry 30, 40, 50 years and still don't know how to do black people. I mean, it's 2017 and people still got to wear fucking wigs versus having somebody on there that knows how to do black hair. And like I said, maybe my standards too high. You're a fucking professional. You need to know how to work with everybody.
Yep. I mean, they basically, she's including more people than were included before. And correct. I think
you can always raise the bar, but yes.
Yeah, I think, yeah, for the most part, people can kind of agree with at least that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't agree with, with the whole thing.
And not that they're right, but I understand why a lot of black people turn around and just lash out, because they're like, well, shit, we can't have nothing. And y'all don't criticize white people like this. And so it's because one of the things, but they're always the marginalized group. Just like black right. men are always the marginalized group and don't care about women. Sometimes black women can be in the marginalized group and have privilege and won't turn around and be like, well, you ain't talking about my group, so I right. don't care. I'm not disabled, or I'm not trans, or I'm not, right. gay, so I don't care about your issues. And nothing gets accomplished when you're like that. You really have to be open and listen. So like I said before, and I always will stick by this, just because you're in a marginalized group does not mean you don't have privilege.
Right. All right, let's get into our other segments. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe. And we get articles and we rate them from 0 to 100, intervals of 25, for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. And I'm getting ready to go to the next segment so we won't get cut off in the middle of the story. But it's cool because it's very relevant to what we were already talking about.
Okay.
So give me a second to get us in there. Give me 1 second.
I remember I seen a rope.
Yes!
And a candle. He was burning, looking at me like, nigga, help me. Help me. Help me, help me. Spray some rain on a roach in the hood. It don't do them no good. They just be like, nigga, now I'm wet. Don't spray that shit on me. Cause I'm going to the bathroom. Some holes under the toilet. We gon' have a roach party. And I had some crumbs that you dropped earlier from the kitchen that went under the refrigerator. My baby mama said that she was mad at me. Took them crumbs over there, then crawled and got some cereal. Had them bitches at the crib and now we eating honeycomb. You didn't know roaches was part of the economy. Cause everything you drop the roaches, they gon' eat it up, my G.
Yes, they is.
Roaches keep your house clean.
Yeah, they keep your house clean.
Roaches keep your house clean.
They be like you drop some, but
hey, my nigga, I got it.
Baby, like you drop some, but
hey, my nigga, I got it.
Baby, like you drop some, but
hey, my nigga, I got it.
Baby, like you drop some, but
hey, my nigga, I got it.
Over there, roach in your health, roach in your bath, roach in your staff, roach on your plate, roach in your skates, roach everywhere. Oh, we got roaches.
Everybody had roaches.
All right, L'Oreal, speaking of makeup,
mm-hmm.
has dropped their first transgender model for a Facebook post calling out white privilege.
Oh, you don't say!
Oh, you don't say. We did say. Earlier this week, model Monroe Bergdorf made history when she was announced as the first openly transgender woman to front a L'Oreal UK campaign. The announcement received considerable press coverage, and L'Oreal was praised for the campaign themed around diversity. However, this week, the Daily Mail published details of a Facebook post Bergdorf had written after August's violent far-right rally in Charlottesville. Remember that? This happened in August, so keep in mind this is September. Where they were like, oh yeah, we want this person to be the face of this campaign. Oh, someone alerted us, the Daily fucking Mail of all places alerted us that she wrote something about white people being racist. Bye. She apparently called for white people to admit their race is the most violent oppressive force of nature on earth. Oh, you mean the truth? The post has since been deleted, but the Daily Mail claimed to have text from it because most of y'all don't even realize or refuse to acknowledge that your existence, privilege, and success as a race is built on the backs, blood, and death of people of color. Your entire existence is drenched in racism, from microaggressions to terrorism. You guys built the blueprint for this shit. Come see me when you realize that racism isn't learned, it's inherited, and consciously or unconsciously passed down through privilege. Once white people begin to admit that their race is the most violent and oppressive force on nature of earth, then we can talk. Until then, stay acting shocked about how the world continues to stay fucking at the hands of your ancestors and your heads that remain buried in the sands with hands over your ears. Following publication of the Daily Mail story, people on social media expressed their anger at what they believe to be L'Oreal model expressing racist views. Some began using the hashtag boycott L'Oreal, saying they will stop using the company's products until Bergdorf was removed from the campaign. On Friday morning, their official Twitter page wrote that the company would be parting ways with her, saying that her comments were at odds with our values, and so we have decided to end our partnership with her. But then people also started using boycott L'Oreal to support the model, to be like Bergdorf, to be like, nah, Monroe was right. Now y'all being hypocritical. This is the thing about diversity, right? This is one of the reasons, right? Like, and a lot of black people will say this, and I don't mean it pejoratively, but it's one of the reasons we hate the word diversity.
Come on.
Because we know that oftentimes it's, we want black faces, not black opinions. We want brown people, we don't want brown opinions. Nope. We want women, we don't want women's opinions. We want trans people, we don't want your fucking opinion though. We want your money, we want your face, we want you to take pictures and smile and go, see, aren't we good people? We put a trans person in our thing. A trans person with opinions. Whoa, buddy.
All right, so that means the whole thing was just a stunt. Y'all were never really serious about it.
Right. So I don't know. Maybe it's good that you know what I really think happened, y'all? And I hate to be a conspiracy theorist. I think Rihanna did this. If you think about the timing, I think she leaked it to the Daily Mail. And then the Daily Mail got everybody to boycott L'Oreal. Now people walking around like, well, I'm gonna put on my face. Oh, I don't know. These Fenty products just happened to come out. This woman that don't wear bras just happened to be telling me to put some better shades on my face. Conspiracy? I mean, did I just put that together live on the air for everybody? Think about it, guys. Maybe Rihanna can pick up Monroe and put her on her campaign. I don't know the rules. I'm just saying, maybe she could do it.
I don't know what the contracts say.
Yeah. I don't know how the contracts work, but I'm just saying. But yeah, so they deleted their promotional video for Bergdorf's campaign from its YouTube page too. Bergdorf subsequently released her own statement on her Facebook page. In the post, she called out the Daily Mail for claiming her statement was made this week and taking the words out of context. She also addressed L'Oreal for failing to acknowledge underlying racist issues in the beauty industry. It looks like the post has been taken down again. Or maybe she had to make her shit private, probably because she was getting harassed.
Come on.
So, but anyway, here's some of what she said. Big brands are willing to profit from black women without standing up for them. She said, I'm not saying all white people are racist. What I'm talking about is a social fact. White people are socially conditioned to be racist in the same way men are conditioned to be misogynistic. It's society. What the Daily Mail has done is not only make me look like a hate preacher, but directed hate to me. I expected more from L'Oreal, but they appear to only care about brand. It speaks volumes about the legitimacy of the campaign.
Come on.
Bergdorf said while she received support online, none of the other models involved in the campaign have contacted her. Well, one of the models in the campaign actually quit. Out of support. Guess what race she was?
Not white.
She was black.
Right.
So Clara Amfo quits L'Oreal campaign in solidarity with Monroe Bergdorf. Black women sticking together, dog. Ain't that some shit? Like, but yeah, couldn't depend on nobody else to have a conscience or to feel any type of way about it. But yeah, she quit. So yeah, in an Instagram photo posted over the weekend, Amfo wrote, "Not even a week ago, I was proud to announce I was to be in the same campaign as Monroe, a trans woman of color who at L'Oreal Makeup hired to sell makeup because of who she is. Who she is, a woman who wrote a nuanced post on institutional racism and white supremacy in relation to Charlottesville and how the foundations of those heinous ideals trickle into every facet of our society. A newspaper took her post out of context and spanned it in as a rant with the most basic dog whistle politics to rally people against her. She has now been dropped from the campaign because L'Oreal feels that she is at odds with our values. If she's not worth it anymore, I guess I'm not either." Amfo then signed a post, hashtag I stand with Monroe. The hashtag used by the model supporters has been used thousands of times on Twitter and Instagram. So yep. 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, I give it 100 too. It's all fucked up. You know, that intersection, you know, LGBTQ issues dealing and being black, like that shit is real. Like you're like, they were so happy to have you as the trans woman of color that shut the fuck up and didn't say shit.
Yeah, because like you said before, that's what they want. They want you because that's the thing. They want your money. They don't want your opinion. Just like other genres do this too. Just like comic books, they want women's money, but they don't want women's opinion when they talk about the women characters and how sexist it is and how misogynistic it is and how, you know, women characters shouldn't have big titties and shit like that, wide asses for no reasons, and how it's very unrealistic for you to be fucking fighting on a battlefield and fucking six-inch stilettos. Like, that's dumb.
Yep. Kid Rock rips into racist white supremacists at Detroit concert. Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man, y'all. Potential U.S. Senate candidate and musician Kid Rock told off racist and white supremacists during a strongly worded rant at his concert Wednesday. They was in the concert crowd like, "But you said." The musician was performing that.
"What you said."
"But what you had said." The musician was performing at the Van Andel Arena in his, what kind of, does he still do music? Y'all let this happen? Y'all be going to see him? What did he talk about?
Somebody does.
Is he still appropriating rap? But yeah, he was in Detroit where he made abundantly clear he has nothing good to say about races. So he trying to distance himself. Prior to his speech, the stadium was filled in a rendition of Hail to the Chief, the official presidential anthem of the United States. Mm-hmm. Kid Rock proceeded with a profanity-laden address, ripping into racist and white supremacists in a concert at a high-energy capacity crowd at Vandal Arena in Detroit. Kid Rock ripped into those who call me a racist because I'm not politically correct. That's not the same as ripping into racists. Said, think you have to remind me that Black Lives Matter? That wasn't. Yes, actually, when you're taking pictures of Sarah Palin and Donald Trump, I do think you need to be reminded. When you're mad at Colin Kaepernick, yeah, you need to be reminded. That wasn't all he snapped. Nazi, guys, this cannot be right. This must, no. You know, I'm going to assume the Nazi fucking bigots and the KKK, screw all you assholes, stay the fuck away. But don't, though, because how am I sell out these arenas if I'm going to need some of y'all. So, yeah, he wants to run as a Republican. In 2018, so maybe he's starting to.
The one thing about Donald Trump on a low, I don't think a lot of people understood. Donald Trump has set a precedent that you don't have to know fuck shit about our political system and still fucking win. When it's time to run again, y'all are it is going to be so many goddamn people running, y'all. Like it is going to be crazy. I think people don't understand how many people are gonna run, because if he do it, he they start. He can do it, I can too.
Yeah. They tried to pull that I'm not the real racist shit.
The fuck out of here. 100.
Right, 100 for him as well. Let's see. Apparently MTV isn't going to air an extremely racist Camillinator moment from the challenge. Now listen, I'm too old to remember these people on the challenge. Come challenge on. Been going for 30 years, y'all. And I'm gonna keep it real. I was never into it from day one. Wasn't my thing. Now it feels like all reality TV is the challenge. But one of the things I'll say, under Obama and now especially under Trump, the third rail of racism used to be this thing that they kind of kept out of the, you know, they kind of kept away from all this shit. You know, it's like, oh, some racism. Well, listen, we can't have you do that on TV, reality TV. Like, but it kind of started, you know, as people wanted bigger and bigger highs, bigger, more and more fights, it kind of started catching on again. And especially under Trump now, I feel like it's full-fledged back where they're encouraging white people to act out racially. What gets clicks, guys? Right? That white woman beating up that other white woman for being racist. Some white woman throws a tantrum in a fucking like Walmart and it's racist and what it goes viral. These are things that people want to see. It's the third rail, but motherfuckers love a train wreck. Anyway, the reunion for the currently still airing season of the challenge XXX Dirty 30 was filmed in Manhattan last night, and fans learned of a fight between Camila Nakagawa. Oh, so she is she Asian?
Asian descent.
I'll have to look that up. Camila Nakagawa. I know that that's like a Japanese last name. Well, in fact, I'm about to Google her picture right now so I can see. I don't know. She looked white passing to me. So it could be that thing where maybe she is, has some Asian descent, but she, you know, it might be that thing where she's also, you know, anti-black or whatever. So it, I wonder if I could put in here race. I bet, I know people have asked that question before. Where is she from? What's her real name? Anyway, yeah, so she got mad at Leroy Garrett. A nigga. I mean, come on, guys. Leroy.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
She got mad at Leroy and went on this rant about him. And apparently it was not good.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Apparently it was not a good. It was not. Okay, they won't show it to the viewers, so they cut the footage, but people still talked about it because it happened. Right. I mean, because, you know, you're not going to get everybody to agree that it didn't happen. So, that could be the problem. At any rate, they used racial arguments as a plot line in a reality show as recent as the last few seasons of The Real World. Yeah, I didn't watch that, but I saw that video of that black woman that went, that finally had enough of that white girl who was doing that thing where she, y'all know that thing where they keep talking, turn their back to you, and the person that's about to whoop your ass is slowly taking off accessories. That was a prime example of, I've never seen that person lose a fight, ever. I have never seen a person that slowly took off accessories while somebody was talking not win that fight. And that is, she drug her ass. But then that's this show, shout out to the Chappelle Show being so prescient. This show is literally it drive a black person crazy with racism till they get kicked off the show. And then it's, you can't be violent, guys. She's just talking, you know? Anyway, in Real World, it's season 31 of The Real World, Go Big or Go Home. Racial arguments were a huge plot point as Ammo, whose name was Chris Amon Hall during filming, lied about leaking stories about his roommate Jenna Thomason being racist to the media. Jenna was allowed to antagonize her roommate CJ Jenkins with racial remarks far past the point where even the audience was comfortable, till the argument ended in physical violence. According to fans who were in the live audience during the filming of the reunion, MTV didn't show any footage of the incident, but cast members talked about what happened. Camila went off on Leroy during filming this season in Columbia and said multiple racial slurs such as the N-word and black motherfucker to him, and everyone praised Leroy for just standing there and letting her dig her own grave. Multiple cast members think the footage should be shown because of how well Leroy acted, and obviously to show disrespect, how disrespectful Camilla was. Camilla was not present at the reunion.
You don't say.
Yeah, here's one of the things I find interesting too. How they have to also make something out of his response being to not respond.
Right.
You know.
Because that's the quote unquote perfect response.
Right.
To not respond.
Exactly. That's the right response.
I am sick of hearing these bullshit Superman stories about the wassa legendary Bruce Leroy catching bullets with his teeth. Catches bullets with his teeth. Nigga, please.
I think that's the footage of them arguing. And he didn't do anything. He just ate popcorn with his chopsticks and just chilled out, guys.
Yeah, he didn't join his movie.
Right. Yeah, it hasn't been made clear why MTV won't air the fight or even show it as context. You know why I think, if this is true that they won't show the fight, it's probably because, to a certain extent, they facilitate that shit. You get people that you know are racist, you put them in high conflict environments, and when they do some racist shit, y'all be like, oh god, guys, it got too real this week. You know, I remember when Snooki got punched on the Jersey Shore and they were like, we're not gonna show the footage. And it's like, yeah, y'all make that happen. Everybody's not on the payroll. Everybody, all this shit can't be cool, you know?
Yeah, y'all dealing with random people walking down the street. Yeah, somebody might put some hands on them.
Yeah, but yeah, they said also the reason they might not show the footage, Camilla is a winner, or at least a finalist this season, and seeing the bad guy win doesn't make a great story. So they edited it out so that if she does win or she's a finalist, hey, we're just gonna, she wasn't kicked out for doing this. She wasn't reprimanded for doing this. She's allowed to keep competing because black feelings don't matter on these shows. You're just there as a prop to be called some shit, you know, and that's the show.
Yeah, and I know everybody feel different about these, but I don't watch them for that reason. You don't like, I don't watch a lot of award shows. You don't give a fuck, so I'm not investing my time and my energy into something that I already know from the beginning don't give a fuck about me or my view or my eyes. I'm pretty sure I watch some shit they don't care, and I just watch it anyway. But this right here is where I personally type out. Everybody watches something where people don't care, but this genre right here, I personally can't do it.
Camilla was also asked back by MTV to film a spinoff challenge immediately following this season called All Stars versus Pros. So yeah, they didn't give a fuck, and that's why they didn't show it, because they would be complicit in not giving a fuck, and they don't want y'all to know they don't give a fuck, even though it's obvious to any black person they don't give a fuck. They've been doing this shit for years. Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100 for her and the TV station.
Yeah, 100 for me as well. Let's see. A group hangs a Ku Klux Klan, like a pic, some dummies, of the Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. They hung it by nooses from trees in a park.
You don't.
Not say. Of black people, of the Ku Klux Klan. Talking dummies in sheets with hoods. They put nooses around their neck and they hung them from a tree.
Okay. Okay. I mm-hmm. see what
you're
saying.
You see what I'm saying now?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Let me see if I play this video for you.
KKK effigies hanging from a tree in Bryant Park are now the center of a police investigation.
Eight dolls dressed as Klan clowns were hanging from nooses.
Y'all, they put clown shoes and clown hat noses and shit on them. It's so good.
Oh my goodness. That's actually hilarious.
They Discovery shut down Marcus. Police collected evidence and then took them down. Stephanie Robusto tracked down the group responsible.
Picking this tree because of the history here, close to the site of the slave rebellion in 1800. The group behind this act tells me it's a stance against white supremacy and that the project has been months in the making.
It's just nonsense.
Neighbors did not appreciate the sight of effigies hanging from the tree, dressed as clowns in KKK garb. A sign stating, if attacked by a mob of clowns, go for the juggler.
Since KKK and white supremacy has been around forever, it's something that is not right, never has been right, but doing this is not right either. It doesn't correct
it. Oh, it isn't?
But the anonymous activist Trevor. Group behind it, called In Decline, wants the shock factor to spark a conversation.
Kick the door in, and then, you know, and rather than it being baseless, just, infantile vandalism. Like, there's obviously a deeper meaning there.
In Decline is responsible for new Donald Trump statues in multiple U.S. cities and a recent mural in L.A. depicting Ghostbusters and a Klan member.
We are hoping to dismantle this movement.
They hope to take power away from white supremacists by making fun of them, cloaking themselves in the night to hang the effigies.
Saying these guys are clowns. Plain and simple.
The idea started earlier this year, but after the violent rally in Charlottesville, the activists decided it was time to act, so they came to Richmond.
Capital of the Confederate South.
Picking Bryan Park for the location of the Gabriel Prosser slave rebellion in 1800.
We want that initial feeling to be very overwhelming, and multiple bodies hanging from the neck from a tree is pretty overwhelming.
Overwhelming and similar to the lynching of African Americans in the past, a similarity the group hopes is upsetting to many people as a reminder of how people were treated in the past and to take a stance against white supremacy. On your side, Stephanie Robusto, NBC 12 News.
So far, Richmond police tell us there have been no arrests. They say they are still investigating.
0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, I'm not fuck with.
Zero. Appreciate you, white folk. Appreciate you. Keep hanging them. Hanging and banging. That white, look, hanging black people from trees was wrong. But so is hanging an effigy of the Klan. How? Mm-mm. How are those the same? How are they both wrong?
They're not the same.
That performative impartiality, man. And in this case, you know, it's definitely because that motherfucker sympathized that racist shit. All right. Let me get to some of this fucking with black people tomorrow. There's still a whole week's worth of shows to talk about, guys. Play some Guess the Race. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Ba-dum-bum. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race, and they're all racist. All right, guys, so let's get into some racism. Man stashes girlfriend's body in a freezer he bought his new girlfriend.
Read that again.
A man stashed a missing girlfriend's body in a freezer that he bought with his new girlfriend.
Oh shit.
Oh yes.
White.
Okay, Karen's going white quite early. All right. I guess it's not a race, but you got it.
Good evening. As two people remain in the Mahoning County Jail for abuse of a corpse, we're learning more about the crime they're accused of committing.
The camel man who discovered a woman's body in a freezer he was storing for his friend, Arturo Novoa, says no words can describe the horror he and his wife experienced.
Janet Rogers has brought us new information since she first broke the story, and today talk to the camel man who made the grisly discovery. Janet.
Leslie and Derek, we confirmed just moments ago that the body found in that freezer is Shannon Graves, the missing girlfriend of Arturo Novoa. Now, he has been charged with abuse of a corpse. The discovery all began on Sunday when a mother of an autistic son decided to make spaghetti sauce and made the gruesome discovery.
Grandma said, oh my God, call the police.
Ken Eisenbaugh tells us when his friend Arturo Novoa called him and asked him to store a freezer in his basement, he didn't hesitate to say yes. The two had met more than 4 years ago over a mutual interest in music.
I produced some music and stuff for some of the local rappers, and he had some stuff he liked, the music.
Ken tells me he even trusted the man he knew as Anthony Gonzalez to watch his autistic son a few times.
Seemed like a nice guy, a legitimately nice guy to me. I mean, I never seen him mean. I never seen him raise his voice, nobody.
Ken's family, haunted by what they saw after he tried to open, then cut open several heavy-duty garbage bags.
Then I opened it, pressed away, and I saw her leg. Me and my wife just screamed, and we came up, and I went to the front steps. I called 911.
Ken tells me it was mid-July after 10 p.m. when his former friend Arturo Nuevo and another man carried the freezer and placed it in his basement. He couldn't help due to back problems. Ken emphasizes he didn't see the padlock until 3 days later.
Ken wants people driving by his house and yelling to know he and his family had nothing to do with the woman's body being there.
Just for everybody, please watch who you let in your life.
With more local news, I'm Janet Rogers.
All right, Karen. Guess the race.
Hispanic. The dude that killed her? Mm-hmm. Hispanic.
Okay.
Or Latino.
All right.
Or Latinx, I'm sorry.
No problem. Chat room, you guys guessed the race of Mr. Arturo Novoa. All right, let's check the chat room, see what y'all say. This never would have happened if DACA had been repealed. The reason why they'll get there, wall. Jesus. Hispanic Jeffrey Dahmer, frozen burrito Latino, Hispanic Latino, Latino to the wall, dreamer Latino, aww. Mexican. All right, it look like y'all all went down the same path and y'all are all correct. And let me see if I can get this picture on screen for y'all. Give me 1 second, everyone. Have to blow this shit up to make it, because of such a small picture. But give me 1 second, I'll get them on screen. But yeah, motherfucker bought the new fridge with his girlfriend to put his old girlfriend in. I mean, girl, you lucked out, new girlfriend.
Woo!
But she was gonna be next. What she thought he was gonna do when he move on? Can't go to Best Buy with this motherfucker. Come on. I'm gonna need a new washing machine to put me in.
Ain't that the truth? To rinse me off.
Right. I'm good. That's him right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's fucked up. We going for spaghetti. You got some sauce, all right. Not the sauce you wanted.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's see here. What story do I want to talk about? How about, I guess this one. Child sex plane text case. Washington suspect inadvertently released. One of the suspects in a horrific child sex case uncovered when lurid text messages were exchanged on a San Jose bound flight in view of other passengers was oddly freed from jail for over a day in what appears to be a procedural oversight. But the FBI said the suspect, a Tacoma woman, accused of sexually abusing two children, partly at the whim of a Tacoma man she met online, was back in custody shortly after 5 p.m. Friday after federal authorities issued an arrest warrant for her, alleging a conspiracy to produce child pornography. Gail Burnworth, 50, was arrested Monday on suspicion of felony counts of sexual exploitation of a minor, rape of a child, and dealing in depictions of a minor engaged in sexually explicit conduct. She was in jail in Pierce County, Washington, but was released Thursday because the charges had not been filed within the prescribed 72-hour arraignment window, according to jail records authorities. A spokesman for the Pierce County Prosecuting Office, attorney's office, said that the case was under review when Burnworth was released and that federal prosecutors were handling the case in Washington. Right now, it's a federal investigation and a federal case. We are reviewing the case for possible state charges. After she was released, federal authorities immediately began working on securing an arrest warrant. According to a source familiar with the investigation, a spokeswoman for the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Western District of Washington declined comment, citing that a case against Burnworth or presumed co-defendant Michael Keller has not been filed by the office. Keller, 56, remains in Santa Clara County, Maine jail after being charged with two felony counts, each of solicitation to commit sexual assault by force or violence and attempted lewd and lascivious acts with a child under the age of 14. He is being held without bail, but has a bail hearing Monday. His case is also expected to eventually be transferred to federal prosecutors, authorities said. But whether that is in California or Washington remains to be seen. Guess the race.
White.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe. I don't understand these people. Like, you were going to be a pedophile for a man? Like, that was your... Like, what do you think you're going to get out of that? That reminds me of this show I watched on Netflix called The Mind of a Serial Killer. It's like 10 different episodes, each one is about a serial killer. And there was one case where it was a couple and the woman wasn't getting nothing. Like she didn't participate in any of that shit. as far as like there's no sexual thing with her, that she just facilitated this dude being able to kidnap and sexual assault little girls and shit for all these years. And wow. Like they got married and everything. It's like, just so you can have a man? Like, is that all this is about? Like, well, he'll leave me if I don't do this shit. It's really sick. Anyway, these are really white people because no one is dead and the feds are investigating all this. Nasty white, love of mayo sandwiches white. That is correct. They were white. Yeah, that's terrible. And you're 50. You know better. Like, this is not, there's no excuse for any of this shit. Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. And his ass need to go to jail too. Mm-hmm. And I can never be sure, but a clerical oversight, y'all let this motherfucker back on the streets for even for a day? Like, what was happening in there that y'all was like, it's cool.
He white.
Yeah, right.
I'm for real. That's one of the things when you watch whiteness work. Niggas don't get off just because they made a clerical error. And if they do, they go back and get your ass immediately.
Right. Whoops. Let's see here. A man threatens to kill a Wendy's employee because he was unhappy with the number of cucumber slices in his salad. Well, we have all been there.
What?
That's right, Karen. A bitter Wendy's customer in Pennsylvania threatened the life of an employee because he felt he had been cheated out of his cucumber, a cucumber in his salad. Mm-hmm. Sounds like it was a very frosty reception. No, this man ain't got no wife. A dude like this gotta be single with cheese. All right, guys, I'm gonna stop with the fun.
You see somebody like that, you know it's a double for your trouble.
I couldn't help it. Oh, look at Karen over here, y'all. Too spicy for the chicken. So yeah, apparently Theodore Gunderson Jr. stormed into an Earl Township, Pennsylvania Wendy's on Sunday and went on a tirade about how more cucumbers could have been put on his salad. If I had a gun or a knife, you would be the first to go, he said. Damn, that there's no one else in your life that's ever crossed you more than me. I'm number one on your list of enemies. What kind of Elon James fucking enemy list is this?
You gonna be fighting on the rooftop with a sword?
You forgot my cucumbers, motherfucker?
You must die. Shing.
You just went to number one on my arch nemesis list.
Right, you jumped to number one.
The irate man then threw his salad in the employee's face. Damn. I swear, y'all, it's not, the $7.50 is not worth it.
Come on.
Y'all, we have to increase.
That's why people wonder why they get bad customer service. Because the niggas like this, they go, last time they put four nuggets in there versus five, and I got them thrown in my eye.
We have to increase the number of
pay these people.
The minimum wage. We have to increase it because I'm not getting hit in the face for nobody's $7.50, dog.
And I don't care what nobody say. People who have never worked with the general public, people ain't shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was over cucumbers, but it sounds like he got himself in a pickle. He threw the salad in the face. The officers from the New Holland police arrived on the scene where they said they found him sitting in his vehicle and refusing to get out. Officer Michael Speck said the man eventually rolled his window down when he was told he was under arrest. That was polite. When they tried to detain his keys, he started driving away. The officer had to take multiple steps to extract his arm in order to keep himself from tripping, possibly falling under the car. Gunderson faces charges for assaulting the officer, making terroristic threats, and disorderly conduct. Guess the race of Theodore Gunderson.
White.
Karen's going with white. Yeah, let's see what they say in the chat room.
No matter how you slice it, he white.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Karen? That's messed up. Let us move on. Y'all wanted us to come back.
I know, this is y'all fault.
We could have took another week.
Come on.
Let's see. Guess the race. I want my Apple Care white. This was a biggie deal to him. White. Theo B. White. You can't mess with a black man's money or food. Black. Ain't no black folks gonna cut you over a cucumber. Maybe a chicken wing though. So this dude is white and alive. Come on, June for Harlem. Vanilla Frosty. Niggas don't go to Wendy's for cucumber salads. Cucumber slices dead giveaway. Mayo with an extra side of extra cucumber slices. And oh, he didn't die. White. Right. Police was real polite, right? Personal level setting zero to serial killing. White. White because he was still alive. Tommy Pickles dad white. Use the style of I'm dressing white. Whiter than the founder of Wendy's. The correct answer, not Dave, the correct answer is, the correct answer is white. I know Dave is rolling over in his silver wrapper in the ground.
Come on.
That's, I bet his funeral, they wrapped him up like a burger.
Yeah, but they did.
That's what I want for mine. Just wrap me up in a Wendy's to-go burger. Aluminum foil. Put me in the ground. Somebody said black. A couple people said black. You were wrong. It was not black.
I'm like, well, he invested so much money in Wendy's, he might as well have bought a franchise.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Mm-mm-mm. But yeah, so he was white. Let's go to the final round, guys. Final round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the race, and the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, we are, I think Karen's 3 for 3.
Woohoo!
See if she can go 3 for 4, 4 for 4. Let's see what she can do. Yeah. You know, the only question I have about that last article, when that dude was throwing the burger at the dude that literally was just throwing the salad in the dude's face that literally just worked there, where's the beef? An argument ends with a friend hitting other with the car. Oh wait, is this one of these? I hate those. An argument between friends Saturday afternoon ended with one man hitting another with a moving car. Shit. The person hit by the car suffered abrasions, cuts, and a possible concussion. According to the Vandenberg County Sheriff's Office, two men were riding in a car near Indian Woods Apartments at Shoshone and Cherokee Drive. The two men got into an argument at 1:20 p.m. on Saturday when one friend grabbed the other's keys, left the vehicle, walked away, according to the Sheriff's Office. The man reportedly told deputies, that's what that should say. He then heard a car engine rev and then remembered flying through the air.
Shit.
Like jazz on Fresh Prince.
Come on.
Witnesses told deputies the car fled the scene. The driver, who deputies say was Nicholas Patrick Hurd, 37, of Evansville, was found at his home on Meridian Avenue. According to the sheriff's office, the 2017 Chrysler 200 sedan had a broken windshield and other damage to the body. Hurd was arrested and is currently lodged at the Vandenberg County Jail on preliminary charges of battery with a deadly weapon and two warrants related to missing court dates for previous charges. Guess the race, Karen, of Mr. What's his name? What the hell is this motherfucker's name? Nicholas Patrick Hurd.
White.
Karen's going white, guys. Let's check the chat room and see what you black people believe. Let's see. Black. These are shirtless black men with socks and slides drinking lean black. black man would have been pulled over before he ran the guy over. So what race is that then, HC? You didn't say a race. Missing court dates, black. EVE says white. Taylor Swift fan says brilliant villain. We all know that's white. I have to say white, says Minerva. White says HC. White says D Rams PH Dunn. So it's a lot of conflict going on in the chat room. Some people say white, some people say black. Karen, you going with white?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was black. Get it all up in there. Some of you did get it right. We wouldn't be back if Karen got it all right, guys. You were so close.
I was so, didn't we almost
have it all? The clue was Chrysler 200, Karen. You were so close.
Oh, he missed court dates. I was like, well, shit, they ain't the rest of them missing the goddamn court dates.
Oh, black people have many missed court dates in our past. That's how they get you. Pull you over for a ticket. Then they tell you, oh, you're speeding up. Mr. Jones. Looks like you missed a couple court dates. There's a warrant out for your arrest. That's how they get you.
Sorry. He messed me up with that Nicholas Pumpkin Pie, whatever his name was. I was like, that's a white name.
They probably just call him Nick around the hood. All right. Let's get out of here, guys, with this.
We see your screen.
I don't care.
Okay.
We're just going to sort of ration this. They won't remember this tomorrow.
No, I won't either. Don't feel bad.
And every nightmare that I ever had as a sixth grader going to middle school, when middle school was 7 through 9, a teenager used a sword to slash a man who told him he didn't want to buy drugs. Shout out to the DARE program for making me think that was going to happen to me. I didn't know drugs sell they sell till I got much older.
Me either.
I was like, they going to make me do drugs?
I know. It's going to, like, you're going to be randomly walking through the park.
Right.
And somebody gonna run up to be like, hey kid, take these drugs.
Do some weed, boy.
And you're gonna say no and run away.
I'll beat your ass. Oh,
that's
no.
That's not how that works.
Now I'm smoking crack. Mm. Teenage drug dealer Kirion Wood slashed the arm of a client who told him he no longer wanted to do business. Christopher Hill said he was stressed to Wood. He was trying to get clean of a class A habit. Hey man, I'm trying to get off these drugs, baby. What? Give me my sword. But he said after he confronted Wood and flushed half his drugs down the toilet. Oh, well, nigga, come on now. Come on now. You flushed half his drugs down the toilet. This wasn't about making, you gonna pay what you owe. I don't give a fuck if you smoked them or not. Half my drugs gone.
And he's accountable for that. He got a manager, dog.
I'm trying to get clean, baby.
You can't tell the manager half your shit gone.
Clean off this sword with your blood. He slashed him in the street with a large samurai style blade. Wood, 18, of Bishop Thorpe Road in Horfield, denies wounding with intent to cause grievous body harm. In March, a jury of 7 women and 5 men watched an interview in which a steel bandaged Mr. Hill described the run up to the alleged attack. Mr. Hill said he had known Wood since Wood was a child and brought drugs off of him as a last resort. When Mr. Hill was striving, I mean, that's an awkward drug transaction. I mean, you older than him. I knew him since he was a kid. How your mama doing? Let me get some crack.
I'll be at the cookout next week.
Let me get 2 meths and tell your aunt I said, hey, all right. Susie,
I still watch the kids on Friday.
When Mr. Hill was striving to get clean, he tried to tell Wood he didn't want to do business. The court was told Mr. Hill used his mom's phone to try and make the point, only for Wood to bombard the device with some 30 drug-related texts. It was this that prompted Mr. Hill to ask Woods for drugs. The text was it was too much. The court was told when Wood turned up, Mr. Hill made him apologize to his mom before flushing half his drugs down the toilet and snapping his mobile phone in half. Oh, he tried to pull the, like, I'm trying to make you get clean. Mm-hmm. He tried to pull that John Singleton message move. Mm-hmm. Son, don't you know
the message to get you sliced up?
You the real addict. You addicted to selling drugs. So jury heard a short while later at Old Bury Court's Fish Ponds, a hooded man armed with what appeared to be a black stick attacked Mr. Hill, causing a deep cut to his left forearm, which chipped the bone and needed full surgical closure. Mr. Hill told police he had his hood right down. I thought I would take the hit with his left arm and smash him with his right arm. Unfortunately, it hit me. Blood went everywhere. My whole body went into shock. The court heard the attacker, who Mr. Hill claimed was Wood, then follow him and his girlfriend and scream, "You're fucking dead. I'm going to kill you next time I see you. You're going to get your head cut off." Mr. Hill, the teen drug dealer, saw himself as the godfather of Old Bury Court. But he told police he's not brainy enough. He's just being used by older people. The case continues. Wow. All right, guys. The case continues, and so does this show. We'll be back tomorrow with more of whatever this was. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate y'all, and we'll talk to you then. Until tomorrow, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.